much about. You got to put it in perspective.
Let this abomination unto the Lord begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
DJ Omar Khan.
I'm all f***ed up, dude. You don't even want to film this, dude. Honestly, you don't want to film this, dude.
Oh, Omar. Wait, you're at the studio. Never mind.
Because that's what champions do.
I always say that we are very fortunate in California because we have a lot of disasters.
We have a governor, Mr. Schwarzenegger. He's from Russia, I think. We love on him, Mr. Terminator.
I want to hear from an ass like fart.
Marijuana, you are my best friend. You get me so high.
That joint, my friend, pass it over to me.
I like my piece.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me. Roll another one.
I drank your milkshake.
Just like the other one.
Ooh, Vietnam, my hair is lovely.
This one seems to be about to quit.
At the end of it all, I'm kind of a douchebag.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Maybe it's because you're gay.
Roll another one.
I'm an entertainer, and I miss my audience.
And okay.
I have no idea what either one of us just said.
Just pass it around.
Today we're out finding out what type of holes people prefer.
Chan Wow holds 20 times as weight in
liquid.
And now.
So the tapeworm stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
Our feature presentation.
It's been a while since we've done Kevin and Bean Punchline Day. May have to revisit that.
I love that. And that is my favorite one.
I don't think we ever heard the joke, but we sure enjoyed the punchline.
Yep.
Well, it is Friday. I see we have almost a full rack of calls we'll get to in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. We have perhaps one of the biggest Kevin and Bean shows in recent memory.
Yes.
And we're playing without a lot of the starters today, so it's going to be interesting to see how we pull this off.
Or not.
Hey, how about a little confidence out of the gate, Lisa May? Come on.
All right. I'm just saying it'll be interesting.
Kevin is out. He's on vacation. I want to thank both of you that inquired about his whereabouts this week.
That's about right.
Ralph apparently is in. Now, is the wedding in Las Vegas? Is that why he had to leave?
Yes. I believe it is. Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be in good shape on Monday then.
Yeah.
So he's there. So you got me and you got Mike.
Yeah.
Who contributes very little. And then Lisa May, of course, always holds up her end of the bargain. But
it's a big load today that we have to carry.
Oh, that's what she said.
That is so what she said. Wow.
It's a big load that she delivers as if it's like no big deal. Come on.
Mike, before we get to the calls, when's Dewan's party? We're talking about it off the air a little bit. Is it this weekend?
Oh, no. This is Tuesday night. We're going to watch a little 90210. This isn't a big festive party. This is just a couple of friends getting together to watch his favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
Does he love 90210 so much that he just goes out of his way to try to force all of his friends to watch it by inviting them over to the house? Is that what he's trying to do?
Yeah.
Like his favorite show?
Like a stage mom that forces you to listen to her kid's CD or something like that. He loves it. It's like mandatory viewing as far as he's concerned.
Well, he tries to bribe him with pizzas that he gets Mike to order.
Yeah.
and drinks that he gets Mike to bring, yeah. and is invitations he, that he gets Mike to send.
Yeah, he does make Mike do all the work. Yep. Dwan is a guest at his own party, essentially, is what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're lucky enough to use his apartment. That's the way he looks at it.
Is he down with Melrose Place, too, or just...
Yeah, he is. He's down with Melrose Place, but he wants to let me know pretty often that 90210 is a better show and that the girls are hotter, in his opinion.
All right. Well, the CW owns Dwan, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin Beans. What to do, nephew, for a Friday. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Oh, I forgot. Steve is still working. We do still have Steve.
Hey, listen, a lot of us can get a little punchy later in the week, and our timing can be off. Steve is solid.
He is.
His timing's good.
He never misses.
How about a pair of tickets to the ASA Freestyle Motocross? That's coming up on Saturday, October the 3rd, which will be here before you know it. That's at the L.A. County Fair. And we got, we got some great calls. Why don't we start with, let's start with Kayana. If I said that right, Kayana is on line 4 on the Kevin DeBee Show to get us going.
Good
hey,
morning.
Kayana.
Good
What'd
morning.
What
did
you do?
Well, I was just calling to tell you guys how crappy I've had the last couple weeks.
Why?
I've spent the last 2 weeks in the hospital. I have a brain tumor, so it's been kind of rough. But I asked my boyfriend if he would like deposit my check and pay my bills and take care of everything, and he's like, "Yeah, no problem." So I gave him my car keys and house keys, and anyways, he paid one bill and spent every penny I have.
God, really? Wait, you gave him the money to pay your bills while you were in the hospital, and he went out and blew it all?
All of it. And I just got out yesterday, and I'm like, I have not even $1.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like,
dude.
I'm stressing out. And then he tells me while I'm in the hospital, he's like, well, twice someone backed into my car. He thought, oh, but don't worry, no damage. And so tonight I'm washing the windows, you know, at the gas station. And I'm like, why do I have a new window? And then I start noticing, why do I have 3 tires that are not my tires? And one of them has like a big gash in the side. I'm like,
That is
he crashed your car.
And used your money to fix it.
Big time.
So Kiana, what are you going to do?
Oh, well, not my boyfriend. No, done deal.
Well, I think first you go to his house and you take some stuff to sell. That's what I think. He's got a computer, he's got a stereo, he's got a TV. I think that stuff is yours.
He does pretty much owe you. He does owe you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, 100%.
Hey, wow. Are you going to, not to get all heavy and junk, but are you going to be okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'll be fine.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. I'm sorry to hear about your crappy 2 weeks, but feel better, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. Let's try Derek. He's on line 4.
Yeah, Derek.
I thought that too.
Hi, Derek. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, Matthew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
Lisa Mae, you're hot.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call because I wanted some advice. My girlfriend's stepsister keeps hitting on me.
Really?
All right.
Yeah.
Why is that a problem?
Well, because like...
Are you only allowed to have sex with one person at a time? Is that the difficulty here?
Nah, but I'd like to have sex with like the person I'm with only, you know, kind of.
Well, that seems to figure out your decision pretty easily.
Yeah. Oh. So she's hitting on you, but you don't want to have sex with her. The problem isn't how do I get away with it. You're trying to figure out how to get her to go away?
Yeah, I'm trying to get her to go away. It's not like she's not hot. It's just that she's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, are you sure you're picking the right girl here? I mean, if you got a choice of two, is the hot crazy one? Maybe that's the one you ought to be with instead of the girlfriend.
I don't know, because the hot crazy one likes drugs.
How old are you, Derek?
I'm 22.
Oh, yeah. And how long you been dating this girlfriend of yours?
Since freshman year of high school.
Wow.
How realistic is it that you're going to marry this girl and spend the rest of your life with her, do all that kind of stuff?
If it goes that way, if it doesn't, then some lucky ladies out there.
Because in my opinion, a 22-year-old should go for the hot crazy and just maximize that for what it's worth and then move on to the next chick. I mean, it'd be one thing if you're 32.
Yeah.
And
okay, but crazy doing drugs, probably will get pregnant, and then where is he for the rest of his life?
Well, he can do stuff to prevent that.
Yeah, I don't trust Derek.
that. I don't know. It's tough.
He sounds a little.
He doesn't sound reliable.
He does not.
Look, now I think I see the I think I see the crossroads that you're at. Do you stick with the safe that may be the good long-term play, or do you, now that Mike has pointed out that you're only 22 years old, do you maximize your youth and have a great time? You've got plenty of time to worry about settling down later. That's a choice that only you can make, but I think I'm with Mike that you go for the hot crazy one.
I think he goes for door number 3. Start all over.
And they're stepsisters, right?
Yeah.
They're stepsisters?
Yeah, stepsisters.
All right. I say, look, might as well swing for the fences and say, hey, ladies, what are the chances we can just all be friends?
Hey, you know what I'm saying? What does the mom look like while we're at it?
The mom's actually really, really hot.
Yeah. Go for broke.
All right. How about the dad?
The dad's like really old.
What's the dog look like?
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try, hey, is that really Dewan on line one? Because if it is, I think we may need to end the segment.
Oh, all right.
Are they allowing you to go to that line?
Yep.
Hello?
Dewan?
Good morning. What do you do, nephew?
Yeah.
How you doing, nephew?
Dewan, we were just talking about you on the radio. Did you hear us?
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds like a good party.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Nothing. I'm trying to have a 90210 little party we can watch on my DVR on Tuesday, but the new episode coming on Tuesday, but okay. We're going to like watch a little like on the DVR, and I got Vampire Diaries on my DVR.
Oh,
it's a double feature. Now, Dewan, do you have any parking regulations you need to reiterate while you're on the air?
You have to park in front of my house after around 7 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday.
Okay, because if you park earlier than that, you're not allowed to park there and you might get a ticket?
Yep, you get a ticket from the park enforcement.
Okay, so come after 7, but be there before 8, because that's when the show is on, right?
Yeah, and I like to say happy birthday to my coworker and my friend, Laura.
Okay.
Let me sing.
Yes.
Sure.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Laura. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Laura. And I hope that you're up this morning and listen to the Kevin Bean Show. Also, you too, Jess, because I hope you're going to listen to this.
Fantastic. All right.
Okay. Didn't sound like the end, but okay. All right.
Very
all
nice.
Right. Well, very good. Now, this is a coworker of yours, and where do you guys work together, Dewan?
Job training program.
Okay.
Fantastic. Well, I hope she hears it, and if not, maybe Mike can get a tape for you that you can give to her, okay?
Well, you're having pizza.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Okay. All right, Dewan. Have a great weekend, buddy. Thanks a lot for calling, okay?
Peace out.
Peace out.
God, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I know. We should have Dewan on every day to say happy birthday.
He dominates so hard.
All right, listen to this Kevin and Bean Show and tell me if you can understand why we're excited. First of all, we're checking in with K-Fat today. As you know, Britney Spears' ex, Kevin Federline, has decided that he is too fat to live, and he's going on the Celebrity Fit Club. With, by the way, one of his ex-baby mamas, Shar Jackson, who's also porked up, is going to be on the same show. Tell me those two aren't going to knock it out again.
They've always had a pretty good relationship, from what it seems like. I mean, we don't know them, but even when he was with Britney, it seemed like they got along and they were, you know, amicable and dealing with the kids
and stuff. That's good.
So what I'm saying to you guys is more kids coming from Kevin Federline and Shar Jackson, probably. The beautiful Eliza Dushku on the program today. She, of course, is the star of the excellent Dollhouse that comes back tonight at 9 on Fox. I love her so much. Mr. Movie Phone is going to be here, our friend Russ Leatherman. He's going to be filling in for Ralph Garman on the Movie Beat. Big weekend, you know. We got The Surrogates is coming out this weekend, and I think the Michael Moore movie is this weekend. Mm-hmm. Fame, I think, comes out today. So a hell of a lot to tell us about. Here's the double shot that we're very excited about. From your Los Angeles Lakers, ladies and gentlemen, Ron Artest.
What? Man.
In the studio, right? Is that right?
He's a colorful individual, is what he is.
Yeah.
He's been suspended for a lot of crazy things over the years, but you know what? He makes almost every team a little better for being on it.
Well,
he's a hard working player.
Here's the thing, and here's why I'm so excited that he is a Los Angeles Laker. Because some of his antics have been pretty crazy. There's no doubt about it. And some of the stuff he's done has been looked at as reprehensible, I'll even say. But there's no doubt, no matter what goes on, that he is always giving you 110% when he steps on the court.
All right.
There's never been a question about his work ethic or how much passion he has about winning basketball games.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he meshes with the other Lakers. But very excited about Mr. Artest joining us later on today. And then right after that, how about another basketball player? I'm not as familiar with this young man, but his name is LeBron James. LeBron James is going to be on the program today. Am I saying that right, Mike?
I think so. I believe he's Cantonese. And from what I'm told, he's actually very good.
Oh, wait. I'm being told it's LeBron James. That's who we're talking about. LeBron James is going to be on the program today. He's the star of a fascinating new documentary about him and the kids he played high school basketball with that were very tight. And it looks really, really great. And the beautiful thing about LeBron is there's so much tape on his early years because he was such a standout player from the time he was a little kid. So it's easy to make a documentary when you got all of that to work
with. Oh, yeah.
But very excited. We got an update on the Red Bull Soapbox Challenge, which is happening this weekend. Can't wait to find out if we got tires. That was a little hick in the hick in the planning yesterday. We're going to have that for you today. Former sports guy of the Kevin Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, is going to be on the program today. Adam Carolla will be here with the Week in Rage. I mean, we're going till noon today, folks. There's no, I don't know how else we're going to fit all of this program in.
Yep.
But we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I forgot to mention Anna Faris is also going to be joining us today.
Oh,
on the program. That's how big today's show is. As I named all of that, and we still left a big star off. And she's, of course, one of the stars of one of the voice stars of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is expected to be the number one film again this weekend. So that's all coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is in Las Vegas. We'll take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Of course, all of Hollywood is abuzz. This is a big, big weekend. I mean, after all, they've known each other for 3 weeks or something by now. They the big wedding between Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian is going to be held this weekend.
That is unbelievable.
Sunday. Now, last night was Bachelor and Bachelorette party night. And I don't know if this is any indication of how things are going to go, but apparently a blowout was planned by Joe Francis and Rob Kardashian. We're planning a blowout for Lamar Odom that, inconveniently for all involved at the last moment, was canceled.
Yeah, so
The bachelor party did not happen. It was supposed to be at Ledoux, right, Mike?
Right. I don't think it was canceled because of problems within the Kardashian-Odom camp. I think they just are idiots by letting people know where and when it was going to be, not thinking that a million Laker fans were going to show up and shut the street down.
That's what happened.
You know, they made it very clear that practically every Laker RSVP'd. It was going to be this huge deal. Celebrities.
They talked about midgets. They talked about stripper poles. I mean, it was going to be a classic bachelor party.
Yeah. There's no way it wasn't going to be just pandemonium. So I think that's why they canceled it, more than you know, internal troubles.
Well, here's the statement. I will have to cancel this event because I now have decided to have a private dinner with my teammates and a few close friends. So Lamar,
that's very different.
It is very different than midgets and stripper poles, I'll tell you that. By the way, producer Alex, who's suspect of this entire relationship, is convinced that somehow Khloe already is putting the pressure on him to cut back on his partying ways. So, which, by the way, I don't know about that because Khloe seems like quite the partier, too. It seems like she would be down with that.
That is true.
Maybe if she's not there, maybe she doesn't like it quite so much.
Right.
Apparently, Khloe's night with the girls, though, did happen. And they were at a luxury L.A. hotel, dinner by the pool, a night of pampering, facials, massages.
Sounds nice.
And a whole lot of girly games. TMZ is hoping that it involved pillow fights, but so far we haven't seen any evidence of that. But this is another weird thing about the wedding this weekend, by the way, is that Khloe Kardashian did not have anything to do with picking the bridesmaids. She's going to have a 7-person bridal party. Kim and Courtney apparently picked out the wedding party.
Really?
So that's going to be a surprise for her at the wedding when she shows up? I mean, look, I know you're in a hurry to plan this thing, but it seems like that's the kind of detail you'd want to at least be aware of before the day of the ceremony, right?
Maybe she didn't have 7 people, so they invited their friends. Yeah. I don't know.
And you would think there'd be at least some sort of a rehearsal dinner or something where maybe some of this stuff would be ironed out ahead of the wedding day.
Well, I don't know how you throw all this together. I don't know how you get dresses and how do you get that done. I guess if you have a whole lot of money, you can get it done.
Which they do,
right. In case you're wondering, by the way, TMZ is also reporting that Chloe received a 9-carat diamond engagement ring.
Oh!
Are you kidding? Carats.
But you'd have to have a ring that big in order for it to show up on a giant paw, right?
No, I mean, it's like, think about it. Shaquille O'Neal's coffee mug is, you know, it's huge. It's like a vat because
a
it has to be commensurate to his size. And Chloe, you know, with the giant forearms.
I've tried to figure out those wedding photos with Chloe, you know, within all the normal-sized humans around her. It's gonna look like a still from a Godzilla movie. I mean, she's just gonna be stomping on little Kim.
Well,
with
they'll
the
need a wide-angle lens.
Well, maybe that's
no
why.
That.
Maybe that's why they kind of had the open raffle for the bridesmaids. They had to go to Central Casting and get the beefy chicks
to
round out the pictures. Yeah.
So it's going to be Cameron Manheim. It's going to be Lucy Lawless. I mean, they're just going to just stock it with people to make her look small. Is that what you're saying?
Beefcakes, yeah. China.
Here's a bizarre story, again from TMZ.com. I guess I heard this was coming, but was surprised it involved Texas police yesterday arresting Randy Quaid, actor Randy Quaid, who's probably still best known from the Christmas Vacation movies, but he's been in everything. I mean, Independence Day and Brokeback Mountain. I mean, the guy's been a steady working actor for 50 years. But he and his wife, Evie, including, by the way, Evie being knocked to the ground when she tried to resist arrest, were arrested in Texas yesterday due to an arrest warrant being issued from Santa Barbara, California. There is an inn there called the San Isidro Ranch that claims that they stiffed them for thousands of dollars for a party that they had there. So they ended up putting out an arrest warrant for him. And not only were the Quaids arrested and then released, Randy Quaid released a statement to TMZ that said, this is ridiculous, you know, included a copy of the check that he paid to the ranch.
Yeah, that's what I heard, a cashier's check.
A cashier's check, yeah.
Yeah.
Which maybe, I don't know, maybe this threat of arrest is what forced him to finally pay the bill that was outstanding or something, and it just didn't get processed in time for the arrest warrant to be called back. But you gotta go to TMZ and check out the photos because he's got a giant, big, bushy white beard.
Really?
Randy Quaid does now. It really is one of the awesome mugshots that I've seen in a really long time.
Wow.
But apparently he and his wife got married and had a reception there, or got married there 20 years ago, and every year they go back with members of their wedding party and have a weekend. Make a weekend.
Oh, how
of
cool.
It. Have a good time. And it was about a $5,000 bill or something like that. But he says it's paid, so this one will probably all go away.
Yeah.
All right, we don't have much time here. We got a lot of great stories for later on. I do want to mention, by the way, that Saturday Night Live comes back this weekend. Megan Fox is going to be hosting
season
opener. And there's a musical guest called U2 that also might be interesting enough to check out. So that's going to be this weekend. LeBron James, by the way, who you know we love and we're very excited about having on the program today, is really making the rounds. If you love LeBron like we do, he's going to be on the Jay Leno show at 10 tonight. And then he'll be joining Jimmy Kimmel just after midnight. And he'll be on Jimmy with all of his high school basketball stars that this documentary is about. So can't wait to talk to him about that later on. Today's celebrity birthdays, there's a million of them today. Every year we are amazed at the age difference. 25 years between husband and wife Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. They both celebrate today. He is 65. She is 40.
Wow.
And apparently still working for
him. I know. That's amazing.
Brigitte Wilson Sampras is 36 years old today. Actress Heather Locklear is 48. From The Sopranos, Ada Tortura turns 47 years old today. Check this out, guys. Barbara Walters, who still works every day on The View and does tons of pieces for ABC News, working hard, 80 today.
Barbara Walters is 80?
Really?
80 years old today.
Wow. I was thinking like 75 at the most, but years when you're that age is huge.
I thought she was in her mid-60s.
Really?
Wow, that's amazing.
I think I might still hit that, to tell you the truth. I got to be honest.
Well, you would.
I'd wreck her.
Are you kidding?
Cheryl Teagues is 63 years old today. T.I. turns 29. Actor Michael Madsen, who's always great, is 51. Will Smith, maybe arguably the biggest box office star in the world right now, is 41 years old today. Not doing so well as Mark Hamill, who was Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars movies. He turns 58 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat. Huge weekend for television. I mentioned the Saturday Night Live with Megan Fox and U2. There's Dollhouse is back tonight. We'll talk to Eliza Dushku later on today. One that a lot of people have been waiting a long time for is the return of Dexter. We're into season 4 now on Showtime. If you don't watch it, it's based on a series of best-selling books that have become one of the great TV shows of all time. And not long ago, we got a chance to talk to Dexter himself, the star of the show, Michael C. Hall.
Sometimes it sets my teeth on edge. Other times it helps me control the chaos.
Open your eyes and look at what you did!
Please, you have to understand.
Trust me, I definitely understand. Children, I could never do that. Not like you.
I have
standards.
I've never seen such clean, dry, neat-looking dead flesh.
The killer is an artist.
Give me a f***ing creep. You know that, Dexter?
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that.
Imagine how I felt when I tracked you down and found out you were exactly like me. You can't be a killer and a hero.
It doesn't work that way! His name is Dexter Morgan. I found out that he's a Bay Harbor butcher.
I see their pain.
This reminds me of the...
I just can't feel their pain.
Creepy. Via Emmy-nominated Dexter returns for Season 4 on Sunday night, September the 27th at 9 on Showtime. The Emmy-nominated star of the show, Michael C. Hall, joins us right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Michael. Right. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Your show, because you're the hero, I guess. I mean, it really requires a bad guy each season that is exceptionally bad. And you've had some really great actors, starting with the first season when the guy that played your brother...
the ice truck killer.
Right.
And Lila came around in the second season, and then we had Jimmy Smith. And to have people root for Dexter, you got to put him up against really reprehensible characters.
And this season you have John Lithgow, is that right?
Yeah, John Lithgow. It's such a shot in the arm for us to be able to attract somebody of that caliber to spend time on the show, you know? He's been someone who I've admired for years.
Are you jackhammering right now?
No, I'm shooting outside, and there is a helicopter just hovering above me.
They're keeping an eye on you.
They're monitoring our conversation.
Yeah, NSA.
This is the thing about shows like yours that are so intricate is that, you know, 24 is a perfect example of a show where the writing has to be the star. The writing has to be great every single season, and every year it must feel like it's getting harder and harder to top yourself because every season is better than the last.
Yeah, it's we finished the first season and things resolved in a pretty tidy way, and I kind of thought we should just stop. I mean, really, what are we going to do now?
I had the same thought, which was, how do you top? That was a brother that you didn't know you have that you ended up, I don't know, killing. So how do you top that?
But then the body surfaced at the top of season two, and that season was a real thrill ride, I think. And then they came up. So I gained more and more confidence that these writers will manage to... figure something out, and I gotta say, you know, we're probably a few days into shooting the fifth episode of season four right now, and it's the scripts are fantastic once again.
You play a blood splatter expert. Does that exists?
Yeah. It's actually spatter.
Spatter. I'm sorry.
Sorry to correct you.
No, that's all right. He's a guy who shows up at crime scenes, looks at the blood, takes pictures, tries to figure out what happened, and it's all about the blood.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Somebody who, if there's any blood at a crime scene, especially a violent crime, a spatter analyst is able to look at the nature of the blood, the angle at which it hit the wall or the floor, whatever, and really start to create a sense of order out of the chaos of a messy crime scene and have a sense of the story of what happened.
And I imagine that would be a position that was developed because you need to figure out a way to catch the people who are trying to fake a death somehow or trying to make it look like an accident when it wasn't. You've got to have some sort of expert who can go, no, it looks like it went down this way, but here's why it didn't. That's cool.
Exactly.
What goes on in your head when you become Dexter? What are you thinking about when you're playing that character? If that's not too broad a question, I'm just trying to figure out how you become this person.
Right. Well, you know, I took a couple weeks when I was presented with the opportunity or potential opportunity to play this part to really think about what I was getting into, and I think, you know, I am not compelled to kill and dismember people, thankfully.
You don't do that on your private time just to stay in character?
No, I don't do that for research. But I know what it is to be compelled to do things, you know, and I know what it is to keep secrets. So I think as an actor, you just, you know, do whatever kind of internal alchemy you need to do to personalize it. But I think a character like Dexter, maybe more than many others or any other, requires an imaginative leap. You can only in terms of doing research.
What are people's response to you generally on the street? Are they afraid of you? Or I mean, because a lot of
If people are afraid, they probably don't say anything and just turn the other way, and I never know about it. But the people who say things usually are more like, you know, give me a little fist pump and say, keep up the good work.
That's creepy, now, too.
Do you feel you have learned enough since you've been shooting the show, Michael, that you could get away with killing somebody and not being discovered?
Never been asked that before.
I haven't, and I'm surprised I haven't. But
you could.
I certainly think that I would maybe know some of the questions to ask myself before doing such a thing. We're speaking theoretically, of course,
absolutely, yeah.
That I wouldn't have been aware of before having done this show. But it's a dicey proposition. It's not the kind of thing you want to get caught doing.
Not really. Doesn't seem like that's good. We were also talking before you came on about how much I love this show, and does that say something about me? I'm a little worried, you know, because it's a pretty dark show, and, you know, but
some people can't really watch him carving people up, but you have no trouble.
And I don't like blood. Blood is repulsive to me, but, you know, I even went to the Museum of Television and Radio when they did the Dexter
Night.
Yeah, I went to that. I love it.
It's not really that graphic, the show. I mean, I think the audience fills in the sort of goriest blanks.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of suggests, I mean, there are moments where you do see severed limbs, I'm not going to lie.
Sure.
It's not like Saw or something.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. Now, I'm going to call for a guess on your part, and we're talking to the great actor Michael C. Hall. When the series finally ends, do you think that most of the fans of the show are going to root for Dexter to get away, or do you think they're going to want to see some sort of resolution where he finally gets captured?
That's the million-dollar question in the writer's room, or will be when we come to the end.
It's great to finally get you on the Kevin Bean Show. Kevin wasn't lying. We really have been wanting to talk to you since the show debuted. Congratulations on the great success of your show, Dexter. We love the work you're doing, man.
Thanks, guys. Sorry about the helicopter.
Yeah, no worries. There's one and two.
That's almost yodeling, by the way. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. K-Rock Super Tuesday Triple Play is going to be this coming Tuesday. It's going to be a huge day for fans of our music, including the new albums from Paramore, AFI, Alice in Chains all coming out that day. And you can see all three bands live. Paramore at the Troubadour, Alice in Chains at the Whiskey, AFI at the Roxy. The way to get in is to keep on listening to world-famous K-Rock to win all access passes and all three CDs only from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:42. So there have been a lot of people working very hard behind the scenes for an event that you are invited to tomorrow. It is a free event at 5th and Grand, I guess, is where it begins. And we're talking about the Red Bull Soapbox Derby. Before we go to Sean, who did the lion's share of the work on the vehicle, tell me about your team, guys.
The best team in the world. Team Summer of Death.
Yep.
Will be myself, Psycho Mike, portraying Patrick Swayze.
Okay.
The handsome and debonair Omar Khan, portraying DJ AM.
Wiki.
Oh, man.
The always handy Dave the King of Mexico as Billy Mays.
Billy Mays here.
You got the beard.
Yeah.
And everybody's favorite black listener, Anel, will be portraying Michael Jackson himself.
We like to call it our little tribute to the Summer of Death.
Yeah.
So, you guys, if I understand from what I've heard about the Soapbox Derby, you guys will do a little bit of a skit for the crowd, and then the race begins. Then you actually pile onto the car and try to win this thing, right?
You try to win.
Exactly right. What essentially happens is all the teams kind of parade their cars out. Some of these cars are really unbelievable, ours included. And then you get to the top of the hill where you perform your skit before you go down the hill. And they will see all of us, all the gentlemen that were mentioned, get on top of the hill in front of our casket-like car, and then you'll hear...
Okay. Now, I haven't seen the Soapbox Derby before. Do you all race like a NASCAR race at the same time, or do you just go one after another and you go for time?
One after another, and you go for time.
Okay,
it's a time trial.
All right, let's meet Sean. Kevin Bean listener Sean Moore, who really is the hero of this entire event, is the guy that stepped up and got this car built for y'all. Hey, Sean, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Morning.
Gotten very much sleep the last week or so?
Not yet. Half of me is still sleeping. I don't know where Lightning's at.
He's asleep in the parking lot.
Lightning is asleep in his car in the parking lot. I guess you guys were up until 4:30 this morning finishing this car, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Now we're beat. I'm handing over the keys, and you guys can have fun with it. We did some testing. It's going to be a handful.
Did I hear correctly that it goes 45 miles an hour once it gets up and running down a hill?
I think it is. I didn't read the rules until about an hour ago.
That's good.
No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, it's going to be pretty quick. We pulled it to about 40 miles an hour, and it's fast.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't most of these cars end up crashing halfway down?
Correct, Lisa.
With sucky drivers.
That's really fast to crash.
Yeah.
Who's going to be steering in your group?
That'd be I.
Dave's steering.
Wow.
Yeah. Who made that choice?
Me,
Dave. Here's the thing.
I figure, look, if I crash and I die, the show won't miss me much. Mike, yeah, they'll
miss
him.
Already
free box. Yeah, that's
true. You got a built-in coffin. Now, Sean, tell me what you had to do. So you took a coffin and you put wheels on it. It makes it sound simple, but what was involved? What was the hardest part of building the Soapbox Derby car?
Well, we ran across a couple of different things. We had a clearance issue with some small tires. So yesterday you guys pulled some tires from somewhere, pulled some favors in, and we got this thing off the ground over 7 inches. So we cleared all the rules. I normally don't read my instructions when I build something. So I read the rules later in the build and got the thing higher off the ground, and we pulled it off.
Wow. And do you build race car engines for a living? That's what you do at Big Power Company?
Yeah, we do gearboxes and motors.
Wow. And so that must have been really weird for you to spend all this time working on this car that specifically, according to the rules, can't have an engine.
Yeah, it was. It was different, but it was something to break up the nonstop engine building and change. So,
sure, so, yeah.
I want to hand over the keys to Mike so he can have some fun now.
Well, I'll tell you, this thing never would have gotten built if it hadn't been for you. I mean, you literally saved our asses on this event. And I guess starting around 11 o'clock tomorrow morning is when the pit row is going to open. How many cars can – I know it's all free. People can go down there starting at 5th and Grand to see the cars. How many competitors are there, Mike? Do you know how many cars are in the race this year?
Yeah, there's about 50.
There's
about 50 teams competing.
I was
going to
say, in the past, there's been dozens. I know, and these cars, people are unbelievable. You cannot believe what the creativity and what people will go through to build these cars. There's legend of past Soapbox Derbies, and I think Summer of Death is going to be right in that category, the pantheon of great Soapbox Derby cars.
Yeah, we're hearing it already from the other competitors too. I'm getting a couple of emails, like my buddy Donnie, or Lightning's buddy Donnie, who has a DeLorean in it. So
a DeLorean?
Yeah, they're doing the Back to the Future theme. So we're going to kick their ass, and it's going to be cool.
This is going to be great. I know you guys are shooting a bunch of video for the website, but Pit Row opens at 11 o'clock if you want to walk around and see all the cars. First race is scheduled for 1. What time do we think you guys will be at the top of the hill?
I know that we are in the first heat, so whatever time that means, it's going to be closer to 1 than farther away from it. I don't know exactly what time, but we are in the first heat. Okay. And Sean, honestly, I want to thank you from the bottom. You and Lightning both really did a great job and all your hard work. I also want to thank Rob at Phillips Hot Rod, Matt Bauman, and then, of course, Pat Divries at Jack's Bicycles. They were the ones who donated those wheels
God
at the last
them.
Second.
So you didn't have to steal them.
Yes, that's Jack's Bicycles. in Irvine. Again, thank you so much, Sean. Summer of Death could not have existed without you, dude.
No problem at all.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you. Maybe we'll talk to you next week after the whole thing falls apart and 3 of our employees are dead. Maybe then we'll have another word about the great construction you did on the car. All right, Sean, get some sleep, buddy. Thanks a lot for being on with us. And, of course, you can go down there live if you're lucky enough to be in Southern California this weekend. And otherwise, we'll have a bunch of video that we'll have up for you on the website next week. All right, guys, good luck, all right?
Word.
Very busy Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, including next hour, our friend Adam Carolla joins us for the Week in Rage. Also, we'll talk to the star of Dollhouse, Eliza Dushku, coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Oh, I love her so much. First, though, Ralph is in Las Vegas this weekend for a wedding. A quick look at the showbiz beat. Who's with me that the Black Eyed Peas are terrible? Anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with
they're
you.
They're a terrible band.
Yes.
I've tried so hard to like them because I know how popular they are, but they now have been number one for 25 weeks of 2009 on the singles chart.
That is baffling.
Well, I Got a Feeling has now been number one for 13 weeks. Before that, Boom Boom Pow was number one for 12 weeks, and I hate both of those songs.
Yeah.
How?
It's crazy, too, because they used to be a very politically kind of conscious, socially aware group, and since they've changed to making more palatable pop type music, they've become the biggest band on earth.
Exactly.
Biggest band in the world. And it's not like I don't like dance music or pop music. I mean, there are a lot of songs that are out that I love that Run This Town, for instance. That Rihanna song, I think, is fantastic. I love that song. Listen to it every time it comes on the radio. Don't Get the Black Eyed Peas, number one for 25 weeks in 2009. Here's a couple of interesting lawsuits going on. Do you guys remember way back in 2007 when Britney Spears was going through her crazy phase and she couldn't go anywhere without having 1,000 paparazzi with her? She ran over a photographer's foot. Remember that?
I do. Yeah.
His name was Ricardo Mendoza. I don't know what has taken so long for this to happen, but there is now a lawsuit in the works. He is suing her for $221,533.59.
Well, unless he lost his foot, I do not see that happening.
He claims $16,533 in medical bills, $10,000 for any future foot problems, and here's the part I love the most, $195,000 in general damages.
I don't buy it. Come on. $16,000 for his foot. Was it completely crushed?
And almost $200,000 for general damages. Like what? I mean, this is, everybody talks about how great it is to be a celebrity. This is the downside of being a celebrity. Because believe me, if he, if the King of Mexico had run over his foot, the guy would have settled for a taco.
Right, exactly.
And the other lawsuit that is very unusual because you just don't see this very often. America's Most Wanted, which, by the way, has been on for 20 years now. John Walsh was doing a story that involved a guy who is currently in prison. And John Walsh called him a snitch during an episode that ran in 2004. Now, this guy claims that once word got out around prison that he was a snitch, which he claims he wasn't, by the way. He claims that it was an erroneous statement that he had ever given up information to police. But that he continually was harassed and at one point was shanked with a, quote, inmate-manufactured weapon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just as a result of America's Most Wanted. Just as a result of him being called a snitch on TV. So he is now suing Fox, John Walsh, and America's Most Wanted for $506 million.
Oh!
Wow.
$506 million is how much he is suing for. And he wants that episode rerun with John Walsh on afterwards, personally recanting his false statements.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of chance he has with that.
Yeah.
Next hour, we'll give you the update on what's been going on with the days leading up to the big wedding this weekend in Hollywood between Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian. Last night was their respective bachelor parties, and we got some information on the wedding, too, but that'll have to wait for 1 hour. Today's celebrity birthday is the biggest movie star on the planet is Will Smith. I am told that many actors in Hollywood, as a result of the down economy, have been taking pay cuts. No one's asking Will Smith to take a pay cut because he earns every penny back when he's in a movie. He is just big in every country. 41 years old today. Actor Michael Madsen is 51. Remember Potsy from Happy Days?
Yeah.
Anson Williams?
Yep.
57 years old today. 1 year older is Star Wars Luke Skywalker Mark Hamill. He is, of course, very active in the voiceover for cartoon work now. Brigitte Wilson Sampras is 36 years old today. Heather Locklear is 48. Model Cheryl Teagues is 63. And Barbara Walters of The View, 80 years old today.
That is unbelievable.
Is 80. And that is the show. Hit it, Steve. The return of Dollhouse tonight at 9 on Fox. This is a long-awaited and much-beloved series, and we're very excited to welcome the star of the show. Back on the Kevin and Bean program, Eliza Dushku joins us on the Kevin and Bean show right now. Hey, Eliza, how are you?
Good morning. I'm really good. How are you doing?
Great to talk to you. I saw on your Twitter this morning, it was almost with fear and trepidation you posted that you were going to be on with a bunch of shock jocks today, and it sounded like
Eliza,
you weren't
necessarily our studio.
It's fun. I'm into it.
You are great. We have no trouble with you, and we love this show. This is one of my favorites from last season.
Thank you so much. Man, it's from, people that found the show and watched and DVR'd and TiVo'd, that we're back. We really kind of... We're on the bubble, and we're excited because we have a lot of crazy bunch of stories to tell. So thank you.
Well, it is funny because Joss Whedon's shows, I guess maybe even Buffy at the very beginning, but that turned into such a big hit. But a lot of his other projects have been a smaller number of people that are so passionate and hardcore that they make it virtually impossible for any network to think about canceling because it's just not worth the hate mail, right?
Yeah, he definitely has, he has a cult following, and sort of deservedly so. He's different from, sort of your conventional or procedural, everyday show. Is that he is a crazy dude.
Well, one of the great things about Dollhouse, and I have to confess, I did not see every episode last season. I missed a few. But here's how lame I am, by the way, Eliza. I went out and bought the DVD box set. My plan was to catch up in the summer and have seen them all by time tonight rolls around. Wow. Didn't get to it.
Oh, Bean.
I know. I know. I'm lame.
You kind of get – people get hooked, you know? It's,
yeah.
It draws you in, and it's different. Like I said, like it – he has a way of tapping into people's sort of like true beings, like sometimes in spite of themselves, and he just – people go nuts because he gets women, and he gets people, and he also, you know, it's just – it's really thought-provoking, his stuff.
Well, people who haven't maybe seen enough of Dollhouse and are thinking, hey, I've heard great things about it, I want to check it out tonight. The basic premise is that you are an agent, and there are other agents like you, who basically are programmed to go out and do whatever job needs to be done, and then your memory is wiped clean. I mean, that's the show in a nutshell, right?
For money, yeah. I mean, it's sort of human trafficking.
it is human trafficking. Because you guys, I mean, you do it willingly, but only because you're in some sort of terrible circumstance and they're going to help you out of it.
Well, yeah. We sign a contract to enter the Dollhouse and have all of our personalities and memories erased so that, you know, for a lot of money after, like, say, a five-year commitment.
Right.
And, you know, either we volunteer or we're coerced or we have, you know, we've come to some situation, yeah, that's at the end of the road, and it's the only choice. But we sign up to basically be used in these engagements for hire, whether it's some are sexual, some are, you know, just purely people's needs and desires, or, you know, like family stuff, or, you know, working through what, you know, whatever it may be. We're complex creatures, you know, and it gets kind of twisted and scary when you think about the things that we, even with the internet today, it's like amazing how you can click and find something or someone for everyone or for every fetish, or that was sort of what was created. Joss and I talking about that, and so we wanted to see what would really happen if we created
that. Interesting. And Echo, your character, there's maybe some sort of a glitch in the system or some sort of crack where you're not being fully wiped after some missions. And that has got to be extremely confusing for her.
Yeah, that's right. Echo starts to glitch, and she starts to, you know, remember the things that she's imprinted with. So towards the end of last season, she was imprinted with, like, all the 40 personalities at one time that she had been imprinted as. And from that, she became this, like, sum of all these people, and she started to form who she was, not just who she was when she entered the Dollhouse, but, like, you know, her own sort of instincts, and, you know, she's able to now, like, tap into different personalities that she's been, and it's this sort of thing of, like, who am I really deep down? Like, take away my memories, and, like, what do you have? Like, what are my natural survival, you know, what makes us who we are?
As an actor, that's got to be really interesting to play, though. Does it get confusing at all?
It's fun. I mean, it's not that far off from me.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, Joss sort of knew me and came up with the show based on sort of, you know, my own life. And I grew up in Boston. I tripped and fell into this business, but I've sort of traveled around the world, like, just based on, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, but I've always loved traveling and meeting people and hearing people's stories and sharing stories, and also just being an actress from such a young age, like, just sort of being chameleon and just being a million people at once, and then sometimes at the end of the day going, okay, well, who am I really? Like, mm-hmm. Who am I at the end of the day? And so he created this, and it's just a lot of fun because I have ADD and would not be, you know, into playing the same thing in the same clothes every week, so he gave me the ultimate job, the ultimate role, you know.
Speaking of traveling, I mentioned that I follow your Twitter, and you sent a bunch of pictures from Italy not too long ago. Is that the greatest place in the whole wide world, Italy?
It was pretty amazing. We went for a day. My brother flew into Rome and took the train to Florence, and we went to see this art exhibit that was like just spectacular. It was Robert Mapplethorpe. We're doing a biopic on him, and he had his pictures at the Michelangelo Museum with the David, and I mean, it was just amazing. It was a whirlwind. It was fast. It was crazy, but I got to go back. It is so beautiful.
I had a chance to go. I'd always wanted to go, and I finally went a couple of years ago, and two things struck me. One is that you really, and I don't mean this at all in a bad way, because we live in a great country, but you get the impression when you live here that America runs the world, and that America is all things to all people, and everyone cares about us and what we think and what we do. When you're in Italy, you never, ever even think about the United States. It's like it doesn't exist. They got so much of their own thing going on that we're not a factor over there.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely hear you. That's I felt that too. And also you get this sense of like, yeah, like their history and their just their land. I mean, it's just different. But
yeah, yeah. Yeah, they got their own way of doing things that they are very happy with. And I'm telling you, it wouldn't take much for me to get happy with their way of doing things either. I went to Rome and I mean, you know, you walk around, you see things that are, 2,000 years old and it's one of the greatest cities I've ever been to in my life. I mean, it's one of the cities around the world that I could so easily imagine living in. It would be so great.
Yeah, and forget about the food. The food is just, I had to go off my dollhouse diet for that day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was on. Ooh, they had like just cured meats and like just everything. I mean, the cow was like killed out back before they put it on my plate or something because it was the just juiciest, softest. I mean, everything, my mouth is watering right now. The food was out of this world.
I did notice that most of your tweets are about food, and I can understand why. But you're right. You're in a different situation than the rest of us because the rest of us just go and just eat it all. You've got to worry about, fitting into a cat suit in 3 weeks when you come home,
But I'm always on the move, so I definitely don't, I'm not like a crazy. I like to live and have fun and treat myself and hang out with family and friends. And I'm not like one of those crazy, water diet actresses.
That's good to know.
Exactly. Well, you do a phenomenal job on Dollhouse, and as Lisa mentioned, it's so fun to watch you play somebody new every week, and it's a terrific show, and it returns tonight for season number 2 at 9 o'clock on the Fox Network. Eliza, we always appreciate you when you got a chance to spend a little time with us. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Tom Petty, Learning to Fly on the world-famous K-Rock. What? Isn't that? 106.7 KRQ. It is 727. Adam Carolla, that's a Foo Fighters song even you can get behind. That's so Tom Petty, isn't it?
I love me some Foo Fighters. Good band. Yeah. And great in concert, by the way,
they're the
too.
Best. Yeah.
No Third Eye Blind, but still strong. Still solid.
Adam Carolla joins us every Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. A quick note, by the way, we had your life partner Jimmy Kimmel on the show yesterday promoting the Feast of San Gennaro, which I know is happening this weekend in the big space right behind Jimmy's downtown Hollywood Theater. And you are going to be out there tonight for the, what do they call it, the Prima Notte? Is that what they call it?
Once again, I'll be filling Jimmy's space behind the theater. Yeah. It's actually, that was last night, but tonight.
Oh, last night. Apologize. Yeah. So it's open to the public for $5 now.
It's open to anyone who's got $5. It's a good time. Yeah. You might see a drunken Tommy Lasorda walking around.
Cool.
Telling stories. I don't know if you guys know this. He's Italian.
Tommy Lasorda never brings that up.
Place that pretty close to the vest. Yeah.
Anyway, if you want all the details, it is a great event for the whole family. Tremendous food, and all the money goes to charity. You can go to feastofla.org, and I'm sure Adam will make a return appearance at some point this weekend. What's on your mind today, Ace?
Well, a couple things. Of course, we have our Week in Rage coming up in the next break. I wanted to talk about this Mackenzie Phillips thing. Now, I know it's been driven into the ground. I'm not going to cover ground that you guys have already covered.
Okay.
I'm now turning on Entertainment Tonight and Extra and all this, and they have all these body language experts. By the way, what do? Go to some school for 3 days in Mexico to get your certification?
Yeah.
I mean, is there really such a thing as a body? You know what I'd like to do with these body language experts is go, hold on, I want you to read something and then punch them in the face and go, what do you think? What was going on? Yeah. You just go over the footage of that and tell me what I was thinking when I punched you in the face.
Adam, no, I know exactly what you're talking about with these body language experts because I never would have predicted that she could come out and say, I had sex with dad for 10 years and that there would be people who would accuse her of lying or making it up, but that's exactly what's going on.
Let me tell you the things chicks lie about. Their weight,
Well, yeah.
Their age?
Yeah.
How many sexual partners they've been with?
Yeah.
Little things like that.
I can't argue any of those.
Never having crabs in college.
Sure.
Things like that. But rarely do they lie about having consensual sex with their dad for 11 years. In
really,
my experience.
What's the upside?
Not a whole lot of upside. None. Some potential downside to that.
Yeah.
And again, the consensual part. I dig the part where you go, one of the Kennedys raped me. Now, where's my money?
Right.
Right, right.
Now, that
right.
wasn't an example. I was saying that. I know it sounded like I was using that as an example. I'm saying I want my money.
All right.
Well, point is, we'll get to that later. But you don't say consensual. You see, you don't need to be a body language expert. You just need to have goddamn ears.
Right.
And if somebody said, I woke up and Papa John was on top of me and I couldn't move, that's Oprah enough. That's good enough.
That will sell your book right there.
That will sell the book yeah. right there. But you don't say consensual and you don't say 10 years. And by the way, I am never going to buy another one of that guy's pizzas. Ever.
No,
I'm
no.
done with that. I'm sorry. Papa, don't stop me when I'm
Papa,
on a roll.
It's not anything to do with the pizza
place. If I was starving, if I was on an island and that guy pulled up in his Camaro, I would not take a large pepperoni from that man. I would rather eat coconut husk than take another pizza.
And Papa's
and I hope
his name was John. That's
that are
it.
Enjoying, I hope the people that are within the sound of my voice will join me in this boycott. It's okay. Domino's from now on. I'm no longer going to avoid the noid. That is it. I'm back to Domino's.
Avoid the noid.
We will take a quick break. Adam Carolla is here. The Week in Rage when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. AdamCarolla.com is the website. Of course, the Adam Carolla podcasts are available through there or on iTunes. Adam joins us every Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show for the Week in Rage.
It's time for this week
in Rage. All right. First up, shoelaces. I found myself last night cutting my shoelace. You ever get running shoes and you have to double and triple knot them and then you have to stuff the extra into your socks so you don't step on it because they give you 14 feet of extra
yes.
lace? How
They're
fat
ridiculous.
Is your goddamn foot going to be? And if it's going to be that fat, you got the wrong shoe. So I found myself doing what I always do with every high-top basketball shoe I've ever owned and every running shoe. Clip them and then cauterize them. Just hang them over the flame and just seal them up. And as I was clipping the 14 extra feet of lace off of my shoe, I thought, who does this benefit? Does the shoe company make money by just giving away millions of linear feet of shoelace every year that nobody wants? And then you get the double knot. You
yeah.
ever try to untie the double knot and you start fighting with it? Like I said, the crap just drags along in the dirt and wicks up the soot and all this muck that's on the ground. I thought, why do we need such long shoelaces on all our athletic shoes? And then I thought about my dress shoes and I got livid because they give you no lace. No lace on the dress shoe. You're there with your... I had to hire an Asian woman to tie my wingtip. Little itty bitty fingers, the kind you use to put ships in bottles or build origami. Or, I needed Mr. Miyagi over there to put my goddamn shoe on. And they do it with you get your tweezers out, your magnifying glass. You try to do that bow halfway through the wedding. One of them comes undone. And it's the wrong kind of lace. It's weird. It's plastic. It's round. It's not flat. It doesn't
yeah.
stay. What's the deal? Are they effing with us? Way too much lace on the athletic shoe. No lace at all. No lace to be found on the dress shoe. Couldn't we meet somewhere in the middle? Shoemaking people, cobblers of the world, could we please unite? You're driving me insane. All right. So PO'd about shoelaces.
Okay.
All right, next. Oh, where the wild things are. We're so excited about
it.
Listen, we all wax nostalgic about the crap that was spoon-fed to us when we were kids. Wait till you have kids and you pop out some of those books that you thought were so great when you were semi-retarded. Because basically, when you're five, you're semi-retarded. How do I know? It's easy. They talk to 40-year-old guys and they go, why can't he hold down a job? He has the mentality of a five-year-old.
Right.
Well, of course, that's what it is. That's when you have the mentality of a five-year-old and you're five, you're fine, but you still have the mentality of a five-year-old. And everything is great. Ketchup is great on hot dogs instead of mustard like normal adults. It's another story. The point is this. I read that book to my kids. It sucks.
It does?
It's horrible. Please read that book. Please don't buy it. That a-hole's already sold 19 million copies worldwide. He's already a gazillionaire writing for retarded people. He's creating art for retarded people. That book blows whale ass. Oh. Read it. Read that book. It's horrible. Oh, he's Max. Oh, he was a bad boy, so we sent him to bed without his supper. And then he got high, and he got in like a bear outfit, and he went to an island, and all the monsters liked him, but he split, and he went home, and his supper was waiting for him. First off, what's the message? You F up, you go to bed with no supper, and then you just go get high for a while with peyote and go F around with some monsters. You come home, and there's a slab of cake waiting for you. That's not, what kind of message is that? Run away, kids. Go to an island. There'll be food waiting when you return safely. Horrible book, horrible message, horribly written. Please read it, and then you'll know just how outraged I am. All right, last one. Susan Atkins. Now, she just recently died. She either was one of the Manson family members, or she invented that diet. I don't know.
Manson.
I don't know.
Okay.
And you don't either.
All right.
And anyone who claims to know is a liar. Okay? But either way. Now, I was thinking about the whole Manson family. And you know when they show, it's so sad, but whenever they show that archival footage from 71, you go, hey, not bad. Like, those chicks were hot. They were hot, and they were 19, and they were all living in an Airstream on a patch of land in Chatsworth. And essentially, Charlie had a harem.
Yeah.
He had a harem. And let me tell you something about ladies. If you can hand him a steak knife and tell him to go up the hill and start stabbing people randomly, believe me, they're putting out at home. Believe me, the back door ain't a tall order when they're picking up that steak knife and going up the hill. That's all I'm saying. So they had a pretty good thing going.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if Tex Watkins must have said to Charlie at some point, like when Charlie said, all right, it's time to get the harem, put them in the van, the harem of hot 19-year-olds, and drive them up the hill and let them stab it. I wonder if Tex went, you know what? Maybe just one more long orgy. Maybe just a little more sexing. You know what, Charlie? We'll do our killing next weekend. How about that? I'm going to get some Boone's Farm. You get some weed. Let's just daisy chain it. Just one more time. Just one more time before we send them off to prison for the rest of their lives. Really? You have a patch of land. There's no such thing as AIDS. You have a bunch of hot 19-year-old runaways, and you're going to get them all thrown in the joint.
Yeah.
But believe me, I would still be on that land having sex if I were Charlie.
That's how you know he was crazy.
That's how you know he was nuts. Yeah. Forget about the stabbing. He gave up the punani, the 19-year-old punani. Oh, it makes me want to throw up.
Good times indeed. Adam Carolla brings it every week on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can check him out at adamcarolla.com and do not miss his podcast. Dude, have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Bean.
No, 6.7 K-Rock. It's 7:54. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ron Artest from your Los Angeles Lakers, number 37 on the team, number one in your heart. Joining us coming up next hour, also former sports guy, the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, and we'll talk to actress Anna Faris, newlywed Anna Faris, by the way, coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, as we mentioned earlier, Ralph Garman, who usually does the movie beat for us on Fridays, is in Las Vegas this weekend at a wedding. Couldn't ask for a better fuller than my good close personal friend, Russ Leatherman. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the movie man, Mr. Movie Phone, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Russ?
Hi, Russ.
Well, you really know how to build a man up, don't you?
What? I'm just saying how happy I am that you're here. What are you talking about?
No, it is awesome. I like everything that's going on there this morning. I really do. But Bean, we would be remiss if we didn't just at least mention what happened to your girlfriend Megan Fox and Jennifer's body. Why didn't anybody go see that movie?
Was it good, you know, Russ?
No, it was not good.
Well,
no.
But Russ points out, and has pointed out often, that doesn't make any difference with how many people go see a movie most of the time. It doesn't have to be good.
It's incredible, though, right? Because you would think there are enough 17, 18, 45-year-old boys out there to support this movie, but nobody went.
But it wasn't based on a comic book, either.
You know what? It was just bad. The bottom line, it was just bad. But usually, you know, there was all this hype. You guys have been talking about Megan Fox and this movie for, I don't know, a year, five,
no,
something like
but
that.
But none of us saw it either.
Well, but you tell me, though, Russ, because
to support your own movie.
Yeah, no kidding. You tell me. I mean, I was shocked by it as well. But were the industry insiders, were they expecting a much bigger box office than what they got last weekend?
I think so. I think people were thinking that Megan Fox would be a draw and that the kids would show up to support her movie. But there was this kind of this groundswell, a little bit of a backlash building up, and it'll be interesting to see how she does on Saturday Night Live. I think she's hosting that this week, right?
She is. She's hosting that tomorrow night, and she's got U2 as the musical guest, which will help. I thought that, by the way, I also also thought the trailer for Jennifer's Body made it look like a great movie, too.
Well, it did, but it was one of those movies, and I know we're spending too much time on this and we have no time for the new movies, but Diablo Cody in this movie was just so happy with her own writing that it was just like, you could just see them around the table and like, oh, let's call somebody .org. That'll be funny. And the whole movie really just felt like that. So it was just weird, and I know you guys supported her and the movie forever, and I just thought you might have some explanation for its collapse at the box office.
We just supported her naked.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
But you can get that, you know, elsewhere.
But that was the problem. Like, if you went to Jennifer's Body to see Jennifer's Body,
yeah,
you were gravely disappointed.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
I think that was a mistake.
Mr. Rubyphone, of course, very, very different from Ralph, actually sees all the movies. I understand you've got some big ones for us this weekend, all of which you've seen.
Not all of them, but almost all of them. I'm turning into Ralph because the studios aren't showing us the movies as much as they used to. They are, they're holding back a little bit. But here's what we got. We got Michael Moore, he's mad as hell. Again, we got a teen flick reimagined, and I bet you remember its name. Somebody?
But first, it's Fame.
Let's talk about, talk about Bruce Willis, because he has a surrogate, as does everybody else in this new action thriller, Surrogates. Now, it's a futuristic fantasy. Humans have given up living on their own. They don't live their own lives anymore. They live through their computers, but they control these surrogates, these robots who are out on the streets living their lives for them. I think we have a clip. Let's take a listen.
I just want to know how an operator can be killed by signals from a surrogate.
The idea itself is absurd. If it were possible, it would defeat the entire purpose of surrogacy.
Surrogates have jumped from bridges, been shot, even blown to bits without the least bit of harm to their operators.
What about a human hit? What would cause one of them to blow up?
Agent Greer, we're not doctors.
Honey, I don't know what you are.
Dude.
Wow.
What, that sound good to you?
No, not at all. No. Sounds super corny.
Oh, my goodness. Bruce Willis. It just sounds like he's just phoning it in. And here's the deal with the movie. First of all, if humans can make their robots look like whoever they want, I'm going for Billy Dee Williams from Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be better looking robots. You're right.
Because I think that would be awesome. Or maybe you go for Megan Fox, right? Because then you can spend some personal time with your own robot.
Right. I love it.
Here's the problem with this movie. It's one of those movies that telegraphs 20 minutes in, you know exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
As you heard from the dialogue, it's very stilted. And most of all, I just kind of felt bad for Bruce Willis because it really feels like he's just collected a paycheck. I think this movie will do pretty well. My guess is it'll probably open at number one just because the premise is kind of interesting, where we're so attached to technology, our Blackberries, we're always on the computer, whatever, that maybe we don't have to go outside anymore. But
I will tell you, though, I will tell you that Bruce Willis, like John Travolta, they are both actors that I think of as having a lot of talent and with the right director and the right movie can really be great, but they tend to do too many movies and just for the money.
I think that's what it feels like happened here. And Bruce Willis, he's always a cop, right? And he's always that sort of bedraggled hero, which he's very, very good at. But I think this is one of those movies that probably looked better on paper, not so great in execution. Like I said, I think it'll do pretty well, but not a great movie. Maybe you wait for the DVD for that one. I'm out.
Okay, next up.
All right, let's talk about Michael Moore, because he's doing what he does best, which is kind of speaking for the everyman in Capitalism, a Love Story. Now, as you guys know, first he took on Detroit and Roger and Me and Gun Control and Bowling for Columbine, Terrorism, Fahrenheit 9/11, Healthcare and Sicko. Now he's covering the economic meltdown as he's pointing his cameras at big banks and their ties to government, the millions of lost jobs and homes, and really the greed that almost crippled our entire economic system. Now, I think you guys might have one of my six-second reviews there handy. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Let's take a listen to that.
Michael Moore is ripping the criminals of Wall Street a new asshole in Capitalism. One of his best and most timely movies to date. I'm in.
For more six-second reviews, check out sixsecondreviews.com. All you need to know in 6 seconds flat.
Wow, that says it.
He's an angry movie man, that guy. But here's the thing with Michael Moore. He's a very polarizing figure, right? Like, people either love him or hate him. A lot of people think he's just a left-wing wacko and just going after the Republicans. Not the case in this movie. He's really an equal opportunity offender. He's going after Republicans and Democrats. And if you see this movie, there is no way you won't be talking about it afterwards. And to me, that's a good movie.
Right.
Right, like, throughout having drinks with the girls or some food or whatever, and you just just want to talk about this movie, and it is something that has affected almost all of us. Now, the only bone I have to pick with Michael Moore in general is that he is a supporter of the blue-collar guy, the everyman out there supporting their causes, really, but he also kind of pretends to be one of them. And let's not forget that he is one of the biggest benefactors of capitalism, right? Like, he's a very rich guy, mm-hmm. and he's gotten rich from these movies, and he kind of pretends to be like them, and that bugs me a little bit. I can see supporting them and really supporting these causes, but, you know, don't have your limo drop you off a half a block before you get to the press event, you know?
He does look like them, though. You got to give him that.
He does. And he does still live in Michigan, but you're right. He's very wealthy. He is a celebrity. He's got an Oscar. He is not the little man. My only problem with Michael Moore, and it's not a black or white love-hate thing with me, is that I think he does raise some great issues, and I think he does make some good movies. But he also is a little bit of a cheap shot artist, too. There are things that he does that you just kind of go, oh, come on. You're just doing that for the movie. That's not realistic. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the classic example is Charlton Heston.
With the editing, right, yeah.
When that was just uncomfortable when he did that. But this movie is really pretty amazing. I think it's one of his best to date. It's so topical. It's like he must have finished the movie last week or something, because he literally covers everything from Goldman and Paulson going into the Treasury Department. And the truth is the 99% of the people who don't have the wealth and the 1% of the people that do. And that's pretty jacked up, and he brings some good points. So I like the movie. It's worth checking out. I'm in.
All right, and finally, fame.
Fame. You want to live forever?
No.
Yeah, me either. this is an original 1980 version remake. Tells the story of the high school kids going through the program at the New York Academy of Performing Arts. And it's just a newer version of an older movie. You got a clip?
Yeah.
Let's listen.
We don't care about your head shot or your dress size or your dreams of being in OK Magazine, on talk shows, on the red carpet. Here, you will learn a discipline. Here, you will come to understand what being a performing artist really means.
No.
Okay. Well, come on, Bean. Bean, how dare you? With a rip-roaring cast like Kelsey Grammer, Phoebe Newworth, and Megan Mullally? How can it go wrong?
I did love the original.
You know what? Everybody loves the original, yeah. And that's the problem. But, you know, with a awesome TV show like Glee on TV right now, why do you go pay $10 to see
that's
this?
That's a great point. That's a great
hash.
Point.
So we're out for fame. You probably want to take a pass on that one, too.
You can check out Mr. Movie Phone and all of his reviews at 6secondreviews.com. If you're very busy, that's the way to go. Russ Leatherman, always great to have you on the Kevin DeBean Show. Thanks a lot for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, you guys. Bye-bye.
And right there playing the Whiskey this Tuesday afternoon. You can win tickets to see them and their new CD as part of K-Rock's Super Tuesday Triple Play. A chance to win every single hour this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. It's 8:12. That looks like Matt Money Smith, former sports guy of the Kevin DeBean Show, joining us here.
That's right. Hanging out for an hour with you guys.
Whoa! Great to have you stop by. I saw you in the other room with Lakers Ron Artest.
Yeah,
he's going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. You know him? Have you talked to him before?
I do know him. Yeah, Ron used to hang out at Laker games even when he wasn't a Laker. Back, you know, when the Kings season was over, he'd hang out, watch some games. Rocket season over, hang out, watch some games. Great dude. Great conversation.
Very excited. He'll be joining us, LeBron James, 1 hour from right now. Whoa. And Money, I know there's no, it's not a coincidence that you're here already, because we have one of your crushes on the phone. Anna Faris is
big
joining
fan.
Us on the phone. And producer Alex tells me that she thinks she might have just woken up, which could be good news for us. Anna, are you there?
Yes.
Good morning.
Guilty. I'm guilty.
Are you you still in bed?
No, I'm wandering around. I have three puppies. So I did have to get up to clean up poop and feed them.
Okay, so you and I have a lot in common because I have three puppies also. What kind do you have?
I've got pugs.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, they are adorable now, but apparently they're going to be incredibly ugly as they get older.
Why do you have three at one time?
Oh, you know, my husband was crazy about pugs. We got one. He was too much for us to handle. So we thought, well, if we got another one, then, you know, they'll be able to play together and they'll exhaust each other. It doesn't work at all.
No. So what happened? The second one was just all lazy, and then you had to get a third to try to tire the first one out? Is that how that works?
Well, we saw this brother and sister. They were so cute. We couldn't separate them. And now we've got three.
Well, I got to tell you, as somebody who has three puppies, three dogs is like having 20 dogs. It's unbelievable. It seems like there are dogs everywhere. It runs your entire life, doesn't it?
It totally does. It's been fun. It forces me to be like an adult because you actually have responsibilities, but it's been really fun.
That's hilarious. Hey, the reason Anna is here is because the weekend is here, and if you haven't seen America's number one film, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, you got another chance if you have any time off this weekend. Now, that movie opened at number one last weekend with more than $30 million, which I think, Anna, was a shock to most people.
Yeah, you know, it was such a beloved children's book, and I think that it turned out great. It's really funny for adults and kids, and it's got a quirky sensibility, and I love that kind of humor. The animation is also unbelievable.
Now, what did you think when you heard they were going to make it a movie? Because it's one thing to, you know, take a Hardy Boy or a Nancy Drew mystery, these 100-page books, and make them into a film. But this is a legitimate kid's book that's like 25 pages long, animated with three lines on each page.
I thought we were going to have a 12-minute long movie. no, but I had been wanting to do an animated movie for a while, and so I was really thrilled when they came in and asked me to be a part of it. I think I was probably like their 12th or 13th choice.
Oh, I doubt that. I don't want to spoil it for people. But would it be giving too much away if you explain why food is falling from the sky, or is that an integral part of the plot?
No. It's this town has this town, tiny little island town of Chew and Swallow, has been forced to eat sardines for the last 400, 500, 600 years or something. And so this young inventor, who's kind of ostracized by the town, manages to invent this food machine that rains food from the sky. Everyone's overjoyed. He's super popular, and what could go wrong?
That tired old plot.
It's so much fun, especially to see it in 3D, because the food comes flying at your face, and it's pretty exciting.
Now, you mentioned that in of course, a little self-deprecating humor, that you were their 15th or 20th choice, but you kind of have a little Sam Sparks in you. I mean, you were an English lit girl at UW, so I don't know if on your nightstand there you got a stack of Marlowe and Heller or something like that, but you're kind of a little geeky, right?
Totally. I'm definitely geeky. I think when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an entomologist. I was crazy about bugs. I still am, I think, yeah, you can get away with a lot with just by having blonde hair. It sort of makes you, people assume that you're popular and cool, but I'm definitely not.
Like, oh, you have one of those bug vacuums? You roll around your backyard with a bug vacuum and suck them up?
Collect them so you don't kill them. No, you know, I'm not afraid to actually handle them. So, I don't know, I'm embarrassed to confess that on your show.
We are talking to Anna Faris on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs has a great cast, including voice work from Bill Hader and Annie Samberg, Neil Patrick Harris, and of course the great Al Roker. You can't make a movie these days without having Al Roker.
Another movie.
I know.
Here's, of course, yeah. Here's a clip from the film featuring the beautiful Anna Faris.
So, Jell-O.
Right.
It's a solid, it's a liquid, it's a viscoelastic polymer made of polypeptide chains. Would you eat it? I mean, it tastes good.
Why do you do that?
Do what?
Say something super smart and then bail from it.
When I was a little girl, I wore a ponytail, I had glasses, and I was totally obsessed with the science of weather. Other girls wanted a Barbie. I wanted a Doppler Weather Radar 2000 Turbo.
Oh.
That's funny.
You know how hot I am for weather girls. This is like a dream come true for me, this movie. Are you kidding me? It's called Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs in theaters now. Anna, we love talking to you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for coming on again.
Oh, thanks for having me. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Money Smith joining us here. Money, who's your friend? Who'd you bring to the party today?
Yeah, it turns out the newest Laker, an NBA Defensive Player of the Year, laid it down for the Johnnies, the bane of the Knicks' existence, because they heard his name read after Frederick Weiss. Remember when they selected him? 16th, the great Ron Artest went 17th to the Bulls. Made a few rounds around the NBA. You might remember Indiana. Remember there was a little thing there in Indiana for a little while? Sacramento, Houston, seven-game series in the conference semis last year, battled with Kobe, and now is in the purple and gold and ready to help the Lakers defend their NBA championship. The great Ron Artest in studio.
Yes, yes.
Yeah!
That was a great introduction. Only when he said 16th and 17th with so much confidence, it was 15 and 16.
Oh, damn. See, you remember, though. You remember the Knicks passed you up for freaking Frederick Weiss.
Yeah, they definitely passed me up.
The hell were they thinking, Ron?
I'm not sure. Sometimes people don't think.
Yeah, especially whoever was running that team.
First of all, welcome to town. Congratulations on coming to the Lakers. What is it like being a guy in the NBA when you go from team to team? Is it a tough adjustment? I mean, this is club number five or something for you. How tough is it to get in with the new guys and learn the new system and feel at home again?
Well, when you like play defense and you focus in on the other team, you know, during the season, it's easy to understand offense. So I pretty much, you know a lot about the triangle. And I actually did the triangle when I was in Chicago for 2.5 years, you know. And then most of the guys I kind of know against, and throughout all the battles or, you know, through the playoffs and everything, you kind of get a sense type of character people have.
Got a little heated there in that conference semi as well. You said it's all respect, though. You know, you have respect for the Lakers. They had respect for your game. But at the same time, I mean, the Rockets, without Yao Ming, without Tracy McGrady, took the Lakers to 7 games. And after that series was over, you mentioned, these are friends of mine, I'd like to see them do well. But it's kind of embarrassing how bad they can play on certain nights, that they don't bring it every night. Did you see, you saw that in that series?
Well, you know, I thought in that series we played really well. You know, there was caught by surprise about a play that, you know, that we played with the young fellas stepping up, you know, averaging almost 20 points and just picking apart the defense with the passing and everything. It was a hard adjustment, you know, and it went all the way to game 7.
Yeah, you did. I mean, the Houston surprised everybody with how great they played. But, I mean, and you in particular, by the way, a lot of people, including Laker fans, thought that the refs were down on you. Like, you got a couple of real rough calls against you.
I should have never been ejected.
Man, yeah. They kind of made it a series that was like, it wasn't too competitive. When you eject, you know, the best player, you know, 2 games in a row, you know, or 2 games, it's not fair, you know, for the fans. It's not fair, you know, for the team, but it happened.
Yeah,
it was still a fun game.
I was going to ask you if your reputation precedes you when it comes to ejections, but clearly that answered that question before I had to, because, I mean, they'll definitely call something on Ron Artest that they won't call on somebody who doesn't get into trouble, right?
Yeah, they do that. I said earlier that it was called past history profiling. And I think, you know, it took a little bit of the fun out of the game and the suspense of, you know, who actually could really win. You know, when they kind of took one out of our legs from underneath us. But, you know, that's history, and it's always a new season, and this is a new Lakers season.
When you realized you were going to leave Houston, the Lakers were your first choice. This is the team you wanted to be on?
Well, you know, I always wanted to play for a big city. And when I was young, I wanted to play for New York. And as I got older, you know, in the NBA, I figured that, you know, I probably would never be able to play for New York. And then, you know, I've been kind of attached and interested in the Lakers over the last couple of years. And, you know, speaking of Kobe a little bit, Lamar being my friend, being here for almost 5 years, and it's just kind of just a perfect timing, and it's just, you know, it's just meant to be.
It worked out that Trevor Ariza, that deal didn't work out, and it was strange because the second we heard Trevor wasn't coming back, the announcement, well, I guess it leaked that you were signing. So was that kind of something that was always put together? Because like I said, I saw you down here when you were with the Kings, watching the Lakers in the playoffs. I saw you out here with the Rockets, and it's something that you've been thinking about for a couple years now, you know, while you were playing for some other clubs.
Yeah, you know, I kind of figured it that is going to happen. You know, when Yao went down, everybody thought I was signed with the Rockets, but it was the other way around. You know, and we got a call at 12:01. The first team that called was the Lakers, and I told my agent, you know, there's really no sense on, you know, talking to any other team. Let's just make it happen.
Yeah, you mentioned Lamar Odom. Now, you guys go all the way back, right? I mean, didn't you play ball with him as a teenager, right?
As a kid.
Like 12 years old, like 10, 11, 12, kind of that age, right?
Wow.
The first time I seen Lamar play, I was 9 years old. We were the same height, and he was playing the point guard position. Then he grew when he was like 12 and 13. He really grew a lot.
One must have stood a chance between you two kids. That must have been horrible.
But when we got older, we started to play with each other at the ages of like 13 and 14. But from 9 to about 12.
You played,
against each other.
Oh,
yeah,
that must have been interesting.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Did you stay tight all these years through your various teams and everything?
Yeah.
You always stay friends?
Yeah, we did because, you know, I mean, it was just amazing that both of us made it.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing
of
that both of us made it. You know, and then Elton Brand was on that team also.
Jeez.
Oh, Elton Brand. Wow. Oh, what did they have in the water there?
I know, and we all went the same year in the NBA draft in 99.
I mean, the chances of one kid getting off the playground and making pro is astronomical, but three out of the same team, that's crazy.
And that wasn't an easy playground last year in the physical series. You told the story, you know, about seeing a dude get a table leg thrown through his chest, and I was like, that's just Ron Artest, but it's true.
I didn't see it. I was young. And he was like our idol. He was one of the best players in my neighborhood. And then when we got the news, because I was a young kid, I couldn't really make a trip. But when we got the news, you know, it was it affected the play and the whole style and the culture of our neighborhood for a long time, especially basketball. Everybody changed the way they played. And
he got killed on the court.
The court,
dude.
We grew up under that era of playing basketball, you know. So as you're growing up, you know, you just kind of want to play like in honor of that person for years, and it was just roughhouse basketball since.
Speaking of Lamar Odom, this is Ron Artest in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of Lamar Odom, you guys have been friends for such a long time. Why can't you talk him out of this weekend? I mean, don't you have a responsibility as a friend to say, Lamar, what are you doing?
I think it's a great thing. I think he's happy. You know, he's I just told you the story how we grew up, and he's having the time of his life, you know.
Everybody's happy the first month, though, Ron.
I know.
Everybody.
I know.
Now, you introduced them, right? Or was it your party? Is this the story? And he picked up her bar tab? Is that how it went?
I didn't know, you know, that it was that they met at my party. Somebody told me that, and I had to ask. And I'm still not sure, but I'm hearing that's what happened. I didn't want to get it too detailed.
Right.
When I speak to Lamar, I don't ask him, you know, where he met Chloe at, you know.
Right.
I ask him other questions, but you know, she's a humble girl. I think people got to, you know, give her some credit, you know, for being able to, you know, get with Lamar, because you just don't get with Lamar Odom. He's a real nice guy. I've known him since I was a young boy, and she's really humble. You know, she met
my wife. Look, I'm not saying they're not both fine people. I'm not saying it might not work out. I'm just saying I wouldn't advise anybody to get married after a month. Nobody. I don't care how great they are. I don't care how much they click. Give it some time to breathe.
When I met my wife, I was 14 years old.
Come on. So,
really?
And you've been together ever since?
Yeah.
How?
I'm 29.
Were you in that limo bus last night, cruising around Hollywood with Ella? We saw some of the video on TMZ. Were you out with those guys?
I was out, but I wasn't in the limo bus.
You weren't in the limo bus.
I came separate.
Man, you're the matchmaker, and you can't even get in the limo, or you didn't want to be in the limo bus?
I was trying to maneuver past the paparazzi, and somehow I couldn't maneuver. They was everywhere.
All right, we got to take a quick break right now. Ron Artest is here, number 37 on your Los Angeles Lakers. When we come back, we want to talk about so much stuff.
He's a musician.
Yes,
we got to get into it.
I know.
He's
we
one of the
talk
best
about
rappers out there.
Genius musician is what he is.
We got to talk about the music videos. China. We got to talk about your crazy bowling obsession. We have so much more with Ron Artest when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are in the studio right now with Ron Artest of the Los Angeles Lakers. Former sports guy Matt Money Smith is here, too. By the way, some emailers very confused. A couple are asking if Old Birdie Dirty Bastard is back from the dead and in our studio. No, that's the voice of Ron Artest that you're hearing.
Yes.
Although
he can rhyme just as well.
He is also very popular in the music world. This doesn't seem like just a hobby for you. This seems like something you're kind of committed to, Ron.
Yeah, it is. I've been doing it for a long time, you know, and it's been hard because I've been labeled, you know, this basketball player, and I actually started, you know, as an amateur, you know, so to speak, you know, when you're doing music. But the only difference between a Ron Artest starting out with music and then another artist starting out with music, you know, I'm in the limelight already. Mm-hmm. You know, people, they heard my first.
They can find it. Easy to find.
Yeah. And some of my music on YouTube, it's fun to listen to, though, because it's something I did. But it's like, I'm like, wow, how did I ever record that, you know?
Well, your first CD, the first CD you put out got really good reviews. I know it probably didn't sell but, you know, all the magazines said, look, bottom line is this guy can rap.
Yeah, it was a fun album to make. And I did that whole album myself. I wrote it myself, you know, and it was hard, you know, time consuming. But it took about 3 years to make that whole album, you know, and just to get it decent, you know. And people said they like it. And it didn't sell as much because I wasn't with a major label. You know, but if I was with a major label, major radio promoters and all, I was just getting a lot of favors. Some people were played on the radio, You know, but it was a fun album to make. It was fun.
But don't you think Shaquille O'Neal ruined rap for all basketball players? I mean, seriously?
I think he just, I think he made it fun. You know,
he didn't take it seriously like you obviously
did. You know, Shaq loves hip hop. He does so much other stuff that, you know, he's not just going to focus on music. Right. Music is my number one outside basketball. And my family, music is my number one thing I want to do. Everything else I'm doing now is like ideas, like for my managers and, you know, my team. But it's like, I'm just interested in the music. So if they do something cool and bring something cool to the table, I'm like, all right, let's do it. But my passion is just the music.
We're going to play a little bit of your new song right now, which is about working out, and is no surprise how you thought of this one. But before we hear some of it, tell me how this came about, like when and why.
Well, what happened was everybody's always was saying when athletes want to do music, they always say, why is this athlete rapping, you know? And I'm talking about all athletes, not just basketball players. So I said, I'm going to do a song about working out and just make them even more mad.
Because that's what you're supposed to be doing at the gym?
I love basketball. I'm a basketball player.
All right, let's hear some of Ron Artest rapping for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, I'm always in the gym. She said, looky, looky, yeah. You said, I want to look like him. Look in the mirror and you pose and say,
work out,
I rock like Alicia Keys DJ. And DJ.
I don't wear tight pants like Kanye. And I don't like to kiss ass like foreplay. That's why I can't ever do a movie with Beyonce. So I endorse.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's better than Drake, I'll tell you that.
He doesn't kiss no ass.
What was the other video? I was looking at some of your YouTube stuff yesterday. You had another, what was the song? All sorts of, like, hot strippers are in the video.
Oh, man, was it
dancing
Fever?
Dancing on stage.
Fever.
Is that what it was? Was it Fever? Yeah. That was awesome.
That record was weird because, like, I'm at a time when I'm making that record, I'm like, okay, I got to sell some records, and how can I possibly get people to look at my album.
Hot chicks.
And you just do the hot chick thing.
Right. Big boobies and a giant ass shaking in the camera.
It was fun, but it wasn't like a video I wanted to do. You know, it was something that I made, you know, trying.
I'm glad you did it, Rod.
It
That's what
fun,
I'm telling
though.
You.
It was fun.
I enjoyed it.
What are the team? Right. What do your teammates think of the music? What do they tell you about it?
They like it. You know, some of my teammates like the music. You know, some of them don't even listen. You know, they don't even take me serious. But I don't bring the music to them when I'm in practice.
Yeah, right. Let me ask you how this works. Go back to basketball for just one second.
Yes.
You fought hard. You're a competitor, and you've played a lot of these guys that you're now, you know, side by side with as teammates. You've played on the other side of the line. Does all of that just disappear when you walk in the room and you are fully embraced as 100% you're a Laker, or are there any kind of residual resentments that are held over from maybe stuff that might have happened in years past?
No, I think like when you got a new teammate, I think the first day that you meet him, for the most part over the years, everything's wiped out.
Everything's really?
How
that's
been.
Interesting.
Yeah,
reset
wiped
button.
Out.
It's like the Nintendo when you go down three touchdowns in Madden, you just hit reset, start it over.
Reset. That's how Steve Jackson was. Steve, he always, like, no matter what team he plays for, he just loves his teammates.
And I wonder if that's the same thing with the fans, too, because I know some Laker fans, for instance, who really hated Ron Artest. And then they hear he's coming to the Lakers. Well, I guess I'm rooting for him now. I mean, I guess that's just how it works, right?
He's number one guy when you join the team. Yes.
Well, the thing is, especially with this Laker team, and Money, correct me if I'm wrong, but the knock on them is that they're super talented, but they might be perceived as soft.
Some people didn't think they were tough enough 2 years ago against the Celtics, but they really D'd up in that Orlando series, and I think that maybe shook the label. There's no doubt you get a former Defensive Player of the Year in the squad, and perception changes rather quickly.
Yes, I think that, you know, I think they were tough a little bit, but I think that Celtics series, they really need to bind them. I thought if they would have bind them, they would have beat the Celtics.
They got beat up by Kendrick Perkins inside. Now, Ron, I know you do some work, you do some charitable work in Africa. You have a young man, you paid for his heart surgery. I don't think it was a transplant, I think it was a surgery. How's he doing? How's everything going out there?
He's doing well. That was like 2 years ago, and then up in a year after that, we was keeping, you know, tabs on him, and I haven't, you know, heard from him lately, but I know that the surgery went well and saved his life.
And you helped build a hospital, I believe. You contributed some money for a clinic out there, and I assume that's because you were with the Kembe Mutombo in Houston. That probably helped a little bit as well.
At that time, I was going with the NBA Players Association, and I wasn't involved with the Kembe's part of Africa as much, but we opened up an AIDS clinic so people could just kind of, you know, go to the clinic and get tested, and a lot of people's doing that, you know, all over parts of Africa.
That's right. Nice. That's nice.
Yes.
Speaking of traveling, speaking of Africa, you spent a lot of time in China recently. In fact, we had you scheduled to come in sometime last month, and we heard from your people. He's having such a great time in China, he's decided to stay for a while.
Yes.
What were you, besides being over there with your sponsor, with Peak, what were you? What did you do with all your time over there? Were you out traveling around the country or what?
Yeah, I went to about 15 cities, and the cities were beautiful. Hong Kong is one of the best cities I've ever seen in my life. And I was out there, and I actually met an artist that I'm bringing from China. She's coming from China. She's coming over here. Her name is Shen Shen, and she's has a great voice. And I'm just having fun. I was supposed to be there for a week, and I had so much fun. I stayed for another, like, 9 days, you know, and I might go back next year.
Did you eat alligator? Is that true?
I didn't eat alligator. I had all types of crazy. They love to put the face on the plate.
Yeah. So staring right at you.
That's the worst.
No.
I love to put the face on the plate. I'm like, can you please get that head out of here so I can enjoy my food?
One of my favorite things that came out of your trip to China was you saw the video that came out that leaked from that amusement park.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And a lot of guys, you know, if they have something in their past they want to get away from, the situation yeah. in Detroit, you know, they just say, you know what, that's in the past, it's all good. But you really took time out to explain to yeah. a guy that asked you about exactly why it happened, exactly how it happened, and why it went down. And it, to some degree, you just said, look, you got to understand where I'm coming from. This was bound to happen sooner or later, the way things were playing out that night.
That was actually Shen Shen I was talking to.
Okay, that's what it was.
It was funny because, like, we was out in the amusement park, and I'm just, like, blogging what I'm doing or whatever, and she asked me about this with her accent. So why did you hit the guy? You know, and I'm just like, all right, I'll explain it to you. You know, and then it was funny. All the people started to ask me questions and wanted to take pictures as I'm explaining her the story. And I continue. It was fun.
Yeah, it definitely got a lot of views. A whole lot of your videos got a lot of views, including you singing your favorite artist, Celine Dion.
Yes, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
I would not have picked that.
She has a great voice. You cannot deny that voice. Her and Whitney Houston, I love their voice.
I would not have seen that coming. I
gotta
tell you.
I can understand why you wouldn't have seen that coming, Bean.
Ron, are there a lot of people, you're in China and you get asked about that fight in Detroit, are there a lot of people who that's what they know you for and you run up against that perception because they think they know everything there is to know about Ron Artest because that was the most famous incident on the court?
Yeah, I think so. And then at first it was hard because it's hard to get away from that, but now people are slowly seeing another side, you know, of Ron Artest, you know, so it actually made it better. It gave me a chance to, you know, kind of show people what I'm about, not just the role.
Well, I have a feeling this Laker team, you know, being the champions, is going to be under the spotlight, and people are going to get to know a whole lot about you over the next 8 or 9 months. So,
they know a whole lot about me now.
Yeah, well, heck, you Twitter every 2 minutes, right? Yeah. What do you got? You got three Twitter names, 96 True Warrior QB, right?
Yep.
And then you got Thug Raider 37.
Yep.
And then you got Ron Basketball. What is that one?
Basketball Ron.
Basketball Ron. So you got three.
Maybe too much, Ron.
It is too much. It is too much.
No fight put up there.
What's the policy? I know that there's been a lot of controversy in the NFL when you can't tweet 90 minutes before a game. What's Coach Phil telling you about the Laker policy about the tweeting?
Well, I won't tweet before the game or during the game or halftime. I just can't see me doing that. You know,
yeah, okay.
But it's something fun. If they did add that rule, it would be cool. I think it would be cool to be able to talk to a fan at halftime, but that might be a little bit of a distraction,
keep your head in the game, Ron. about the fans.
Isn't that what guys just kind of kick back at the half anyway, right?
Yeah,
it's not
like it's
intense meeting or anything. There are a couple adjustments that are made, and then you just kind of relax, right?
I thought it'd be cool, like one tweet. You get one tweet at halftime.
Well, hell,
tweet.
Gilbert Arenas was playing poker for 10 minutes at halftime a couple of years ago.
Oh,
he was doing
really?
A little online poker. Yeah, that was his big thing.
Oh, wow, that's it.
Agent Zero, man.
Might as well tweet.
That's right. I don't know what the big difference is.
All right, we are out of time, by the way. In case you're curious, Laker preseason basketball is right around the corner. October 7th is going to be versus Golden State at the Honda Center in Anaheim, and then they come to the Forum on the 9th against Golden State as well. But, Ron, welcome to town.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you carved out some time to come in on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hope this won't be your last appearance. Please come back and see us anytime, my friend.
Oh, yes, I will.
You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show. Matt Money Smith is back in from licking Ron Artest in the other room.
Whoa!
You seem to be very happy with Mr. Artest being here today.
I like Artest. He's got the biggest ass in the NBA, and he throws it around when it comes to defending dudes.
Yeah, driving a lot of power from that
damn
ass.
Damn right he is.
It is funny that a guy like that has such a reputation as a thug on the court, and then off the court, just a sweet, nice guy, too.
Good dude.
You know? I mean,
nice guy.
You just turn on the competition, I guess, when you play. Speaking of competitors, how about the great LeBron James from your Cleveland Cleveland Cavaliers joining us coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know, it's unbelievable. Real quick, we just got a couple of why are we getting better sports guests than you are on your show, Mike?
That just speaks to what people think about me.
We just have time for a couple quick showbiz stories. As you know, Halloween is right around the corner, and the list has come out of the top five celebrities for Halloween costumes this year.
I wonder what they're going to be.
I don't think there are many surprises. Britney Spears, once again this year, is very popular, as she always is for Halloween.
Okay.
Lady Gaga is going to be a very popular costume this
so
year for
so many
Halloween.
To choose from with her.
And this is, I think this is great advice if you are an ugly chick. Lady Gaga is a great costume for you because no one will know.
That's just a good wear point. A mask on your face.
Michael Jackson is expected to be huge this year.
Yeah.
He's been in the news a lot.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin, popular Halloween costume this year.
Mm-hmm.
And President Barack Obama will be popular for Halloween this year. So those are the top five celebrities.
Bean, I don't know if you have some taps in that fancy music-making machine of yours up there. A little sad music. I think it's imperative we set the mood when we drop the hammer here. For those of you that that set your TiVos to TBS on Saturday nights.
Uh-oh.
There will be a great void in the space that was once occupied by the Bill Engvall Show.
Oh, no! Not oh, big God, no! Bill Engvall! Canceled? The show's been canceled?
TBS has canceled the show after three seasons and 30 episodes. No more! God. No more, hey, stupid, here's your card! No more Bill Engvall comedy on the TBS.
Now, he was, what was the group of comedians that, him and Foxworthy and some
and
of the other guys?
The Cable Guy.
Yeah, what were they called? Were they the
Blue Collar Comedy
yeah, Tour?
Yeah, you had Get Her Done.
And that's right.
You know you're a redneck if. And then Bill Engvall, right. He found his little space in that triumvirate with, hey, stupid, here's your card. Yeah. Way to go, Bill.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. Sign, is that what it was?
I think it was Here's Your Sign.
Here's Your Sign.
Lisa did country radio,
well,
so she knows this
I know
type of stuff.
Something about it.
Let me tell you something. That Bill Engvall and that Here's Your Sign comedy. Hilarious.
So he's gone. How about that?
I never saw that show, but there was a decent actress, Nancy something. Who was the one that played
Sinatra.
His wife?
I don't know. No. I just saw he had two kids that looked like Malachi from Children of the Corn. Like, who the hell cast these kids?
Good reference.
Speaking of TV, by the way, we can't tell you enough that Saturday Night Live is back for its 35th season tomorrow night with the beautiful Megan Fox hosting. And, not the worst musical guest in the world, a band called U2 is also going to be on the show tomorrow night.
Jeez!
Some of the highlights to look forward to on the TV tonight, if you missed Flash Forward, which is the new ABC time travel related show, we had John Cho on the program yesterday. It aired last night. Good ratings, but they're airing it again tonight. If you missed it last night and you want another chance, you'll see it tonight at 8 o'clock. They're also going to be rerunning Modern Family and Cougar Town, two of their other premieres from earlier this week. So you got a good chance to catch up if you missed some of those new shows on ABC tonight. Tonight on CBS is the return of The Ghost Whisperer, also Medium and Numbers. Jay Leno at 10 has Hugh Laurie and LeBron James on the program tonight. Dollhouse is back on Fox along with Brothers, which is the Michael Strahan show. We had him on the show last week talking about Brothers. That debuts tonight. And then the return of Smallville on the CW tonight. By the way, Seth MacFarlane on the Conan O'Brien show tonight, he is one of the actors on Flash Forward. That was the biggest surprise of the night for me to see Seth on in real life.
How about that?
As an actor on Flash Forward.
I had known no
and you're
idea.
Like, why does that guy sound like Peter Griffin? This is really weird.
That's exactly what I thought. And our friend Kevin Smith is a guest on the Jimmy Fallon show tonight also. Today's celebrity birthdays, you got a ton of them, and there's some good ones, including actor Will Smith is 41 years old today. Actor Michael Madsen is 51. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, Money, how old do you think he is today?
I'm going to go with 57.
58 years
yeah!
old. Good guess.
Yeah, pretty good, huh?
Oscar-winning actor Michael Douglas turned 65 today. His wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, also celebrates a birthday. She is only 40. Brigitte Wilson Sampras is 36 years old today. Heather Locklear is 48. Model Cheryl Teague, 63. Barbara Walters is 80 today.
Oh, yeah, where's her bell?
T.I. turns 29.
Heather Locklear's bell?
She got one.
He hit it.
T.I. turns 29. 29 in jail today.
Jail. Yeah.
And Seattle Seahawks quarterback Matt Hasselbeck turns 34 today and is preparing to lose to the Bears this weekend. So that's what he's got on tap.
34 and bald.
By the way, speaking of LeBron James on the TV tonight, he's on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up next.
Unreal.
That is the Showbiz Beat.
What's with that band, man? Aren't they all brothers or something?
Yes, yes, they are, Mike. It's 106.7 KROQ, the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:13.
He's been dubbed the Chosen One.
LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James.
Down to one, and he hit it. Oh, my goodness.
Three on the shot clock. LeBron, three.
You know, I'm just 6'9", 260, and just so happen to be very good at playing the game of basketball.
James sizing up his spot for three. Oh, my. LeBron James, bigger than you.
I think team first. It allows me to succeed. It allows my team to succeed.
LeBron to win the game.
There's anybody better in the league than this guy. I'd like to see him, and that includes Kobe Bryant.
Are you any place even remotely close to your peak?
I don't think I got a long way to go, but it's going to take a little process.
James puts it up, puts it in. LeBron to the hoop for the win. He's got it with 9 tenths left.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by the superstar, LeBron James.
And coincidentally, so are we on the Kevin and Bean Show. Please welcome LeBron James to the program right now. Good morning, Mr. James. How are you?
Doing great. What about you guys?
We're doing great. Nice to have you. You know, it's funny. I was listening to that intro of some of LeBron's greatest hits, and I heard that clip from the 60 Minutes appearance with Steve Croft over the summer. And there were a lot of people at the time who were saying, there's no way he just turned around and made that unbelievable shot while the 60 Minutes cameras were running. But I believe that's what happened. Do you remember that day?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. You can, if you guys can get in contact with Steve Croft, he'll let you know that it was official.
You must have been so happy when that happened.
he couldn't believe it, though, when it happened. He was like, oh, what did he just do?
LeBron is out today because 1 week from today, More Than a Game opens up, which is a documentary that sounds like it was decades in the making. I mean, you got footage of you going back to, I don't know, it looks like you're five in some of these clips.
It is. We got footage going back to when I really started first playing basketball, and when I was 8 years old. So it's kind of unbelievable, though.
How close are you with a lot of the guys that we see featured in this? I assume playing professionally in Cleveland allows you to maintain a lot of these relationships.
I'm very close with those guys. You know, one of them is on tour with me right now, doing a lot of the promotion. And, you know, a couple of them are playing, you know, professional basketball overseas, and another one is playing football in Canton, Ohio. But we really are close, and we always talk weekly or, you know, just try to check up on each other.
So these are your some of your childhood best friends, guys that you played high school ball with, that you stayed in touch with. At what point did somebody decide, hey, we got all this great footage, we got to figure out a way to make a movie out of it?
Well, the director, Chris Bellman, he, you know, all he was doing was doing the school project our senior year. And, you know, he thought more than just a school project after he'd seen the footage. And, you know, he got me on board, got a partner of mine on board, and, you know, got the guys on board, and, you know, we never thought that it would turn into a documentary when he was filming us as seniors in high school, but we glad that it's going to be able to, you know, be shown to, you know, the world.
Well, one of the themes of the documentary, LeBron, is how things can change. You know, you have guys that are so close, they grow up together, but then all of a sudden LeBron James is on the cover of SI. LeBron James is being talked about as being the greatest basketball player that ever lived, and how you have to deal with that, how your team has to deal with that, and I guess to some degree, importantly, how your real good friends have to deal with now being in your shadow, sort of.
It just made our bond closer. We never had personal agendas, and we never hated each other. You know, we wanted everyone to succeed, and no matter who, you know, whose stature or whose star power was bigger than the other, you know, we supported each other no matter what.
You know, when it comes to guys that score, that are the primary scorer on their team in the NBA, it's not often you find one that's also the best distributor on their team. And I kind of have to believe it is a guy who piles up a lot of assists along with scoring a lot of points and being right up there and leading the league in scoring. Was that relationship with those teammates what kind of led you to be more of a distributor, even though you were relied on as the guy who was supposed to score all the points for your team as well?
It basically is. You know, I always enjoyed the success of my teammates. And, you know, anytime that I got an opportunity to see those guys, you know, score or be successful in the game of basketball with my help, I was always up for that.
LeBron, I know this may be a difficult question for you to answer because you're a humble man, but how is it that you have been able to stay so down to earth and stay with one woman and stay in your hometown where you grew up and where you love and never get in any trouble and there's never paparazzi videos? I mean, how do you avoid all of those things that other NBA stars seem to fall into so often?
I just got a great supporting cast, and I think my family, you know, my kids and my girl and, you know, my mother and everyone just supports me, and I try to support them. And we grew up in a small city. You know, it's only the population is 225,000. You know, what we get, we cherish. We don't, we really don't get the big head or anything like that. It humbles us. So I give a lot of credit to my family and friends, honestly.
You know, this is so weird, LeBron. I was in Cleveland. I visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame over the summer, and I couldn't go anywhere in that city without running into people who had met you. Everywhere I went, people are like, oh, yeah, LeBron comes in here, or I hung out with LeBron, or I know LeBron, or I saw LeBron, or, you know, it was just, it was so crazy. It's like everyone there just adores you so much, and to a man, they all said you were like the nicest guy in town.
Well, I appreciate it. I love the people in Cleveland. They've been unbelievable, and will continue to be unbelievable. And yeah, I'm not one of the guys that's sheltered. I get out a lot, and I mean, you know, I do normal stuff. You know, I might see a little bit more cameras than a lot of people, but I do normal stuff.
So many people point out, LeBron, that because you are a global brand, maybe you want to go to a market that's bigger to help spread that global brand. But I would assume with the internet, with the way that the world works now, you know, the idea that the world is flat, that you can do whatever you need to do in Cleveland. Do you feel hindered at all when you want to spread a message by playing your basketball in Cleveland?
I think just like you said, I could be a global icon, or my business can grow no matter where I am. You know, I'm gonna make the decision based on winning and my family. You know, I've always been a winner, and I want to continue to win. So, you know, that won't play a factor in my decision as far as, you know, me broadening my stardom or anything like that.
This is LeBron James on the phone on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the film More Than a Game that opens up a week from today on Friday, October 2nd. The book, by the way, there's a book called Shooting Stars that's also about this same topic. You talk about winning, and I know every year Cavs fans think this is going to be the year, and the last couple have been tantalizingly close. But now with Mr. Shaquille O'Neal on your team, you have to be so excited about the season you're getting ready to go into.
Absolutely. This is the most dominant force that the game has ever seen, a four-time NBA champion and a Hall of Famer. So I'm looking forward to it. I haven't had a force like this alongside me. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
As someone who's worked on the Lakers radio broadcast the last 4 years, whenever there was a Lakers-Cavs showdown, it would always excite me to see who would try and who would dare stand in front of you when you got going. But we just had Ron Artest in studio for about a half hour, and he is a dude that is thick enough and maybe quick enough to maybe stay in front of you a little bit. Is there anyone that you feel like can check you and that does give you a little bit of a tough go?
Well, I think it's a lot of guys out there that challenge me, and Ron Artest is one of them. Like you say, he's strong and, you know, quick enough, but, you know, he challenged me, and I love to challenge anybody, you know, and I'm looking forward to that matchup when we play here Christmas Day.
Well, LeBron, we don't get a chance to talk to you very often. A lot of us guys on the radio that are huge fans of yours, but, man, it's a thrill to catch up with you. I mean, we love watching you play ball. I mean, you are just one of those guys that makes the game magic for the rest of us. I hope you know how much your fans appreciate you.
Really appreciate that. You know, to know that I have fans and people appreciate the way I play the game of basketball is humbling to me. And thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
You bet, man. And a pair of passes to a screening of the LeBron James film called More Than a Game. It opens up next Friday, but if you want to see it early, you can see it at CineSpace on September 30th. We'll take the first 10 callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. Mr. James, have a great season. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Guys, have a great season, too.
Thanks.
By the way, I didn't tell LeBron James when we had him on that when I was in Cleveland, I mentioned I was in Cleveland over the summer, that I drove by his house.
Oh, yeah, you didn't. That's probably a good idea that you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't want to be creeped out. But, I mean, when you're in Cleveland, you got to drive by LeBron's house, right? And I drove by his house, and I'm telling you guys, 20 seconds later, there was a police car behind me. I mean, he
no
must have full-time,
kidding.
Like, security around, you know, around the clock just looking for yahoos like me. I wasn't going to, you know, climb the fence and look for a pickup game or anything. I was just driving by his house. But, yeah, I had a cop on me. It was pretty impressive. But, I mean, if everybody knows where he lives, I imagine he has to do something like that. But
right.
Very cool to have him on. All right, Kevin and Bean Show, final look at the Showbiz Beat coming up. First, though, you've been hearing the rumors that K-Fed, who is now K-Fat because he's gained about 200 pounds since he and Britney broke up, is going on a reality show to lose weight. It is true. He is going to be on VH1 Celebrity Fit Club, and I think we've got K-Fed on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, K-Fed, what's up?
What's up, dog? What's up, baby? Hey, Lisa May, what's up, dog?
Have you been running, baby? Or what are you
I'm
doing?
I'm running right now.
You're running.
Oh, you're running. Wow.
Thank God.
Now, here's the thing. You used to be in the tabloids and on the news and on the websites all the time, and then you kind of dropped out for a minute, and you gained about 500 pounds. How did that happen, K-Fed?
Man, look, I ain't going to lie to you. I know a lot of celebrities, they have, you know, stories of what happened and this and that and thyroid problems, big bone. I mean, man, I just changed my lifestyle. I got a couple of kids now, you know what I'm saying? I can't be
in the gym.
And like, but, you know, it's like now I'm really, like, looking out for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got pretty much full custody.
Yeah.
So it's like I can't be hitting the gym. And, like, I start eating what they're eating. You know what I'm saying? Like the mac and cheese and the candy all day and stuff like that. And it caught up to me, dog. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
I look in the mirror. I'm not the same K-Fed I used to be. You know what I'm saying?
You're taking responsibility for your own actions. Wow.
I'm sorry because, look. Ladies, I know the raw sexual magnetism that I have. I mean, I understand that. And I feel like I haven't been holding up to my end of the bargain, you know, because I used to have them rippling six-pack muscles, you know what I'm saying, the sinewy wall of Nubian steel that used to be the K-Fed. You know what I'm saying?
Get crazy, so it's
like,
but
I'm going to do my part. But the bottom line is I know my belly be flopping over my belt buckle, and I understand that, but I still got that fleshy stalactite be clickety-clacking between my knees, you know what I'm saying? So that's all that really matters.
Here's the thing, though. You were in pretty good shape because you were a professional dancer. I mean, that's what you did. That's how you met Brittany in the first place. Then, as you said, you started sitting around the house and taking care of the kids and doing nothing but eating and not working out. And now you gained all this weight. But it sounds like you're really trying to get hold of it, and you're actually going to be a contestant on the Celebrity Fit Club TV show.
Yeah, dog. You know, and that's why I'm training right now. That's why I don't want to go in there just, like, embarrassing myself because I done seen other celebs go up on that show looking whack, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm trying to just get my endurance up a little bit. I've been doing, you know, hitting the push-ups or whatnot, you know, running a little bit around, you know, Malibu. It's like, just trying to get prepped because I'm doing this, you know what I'm saying? The VH1, Celebrity Fit Club, you're going to see K-Fed lose that weight. I'm going to be inspirational, dog, to all them peeps out there.
So Bobby Brown, of course, is another of the contestants. That's the guy who needs it. Actress Nicole Eggert. Now, how about this? How about your other baby mama, Shar Jackson, who you had two kids with before Brittany?
Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm down with her. She's a beautiful sister.
Okay.
And, if you know, like, look, if she wants me to put more babies inside of her, I will do that.
I don't think she's asking that at all.
I've never had a problem doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, listen up, ladies. If you learn one thing from today, if you want a baby in you, call me. I can do that.
Yeah,
K-Fed, what about, you used to be so prolific, it seemed like you lived for the studio. Since you started eating full-time, it doesn't seem like you've made a record.
Funny you should say that, dog.
What?
But, you know, like many times we've talked before, dog, we're friends. We go way back, kid. You know what I'm saying? It's like my art always reflects my life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everything I'm doing, I take into the studio. I call up my producer, Black the Ripper. I call up my other producer, Dark Gable. You know what I'm saying? I called up the guy who masters my CDs, Machete. And I said, listen, dog. Let's hit the studio.
But you haven't done that in... It's been six months since you had a new record. What?
I have a new record to debut for you right now. And it's about me getting back in shape, taking control of my life. Because, look, the real deal is right here, Biggity Bean. I looked in the mirror a couple days ago, man, and it was shocking. Uh-huh. I took my shirt off, and I really just felt the fat up in my body. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I'm like, it's time to take the power back. I put the fist up in the air. I said, let's do this. So I wrote this song, and I want you all to hear it. Tell me what you think.
All right, let's hear it. Hit it, Steve.
Yo, it's K-Fed. Man, I realized I put on some weight. I looked in the mirror the other day, and I wasn't happy with what I saw. So it's time to take the power back. I'm gonna take control of my life. I'm gonna start dieting, exercising. You'll see, I'm going on Celebrity Fit Club. I'm gonna get my self-respect back, y'all. No more chicken, no more grits. I started to get fat, but now it's time to get fit. Diet, exercise, and I ain't gonna quit. Call me Michael Jackson, cause I'm screaming, this is it. Extra baggy FUBU sweats. I be hitting up them supersets. Up in the gym, I'm as real as it gets.
You know,
cause it's Celebrity Fit Club, don't ever forget. They call me K-Fat, but now I'm K-Fit. I be telling Jack LaLanne that he ain't. Mixing up the protein in my Cadillac. I'll be trading in the pot belly for a six pack. Running on that treadmill, set at full speed. My trainer told me that I need to quit smoking weed. Wait, hold up.
What's this about quit smoking weed? Man, I know I've gained some weight, but y'all need to recognize. Until my lungs start to bleed, it's obscene how much green filters through my pipe screen. Hitting that bong like my name was Tommy Chong all day long. Everybody sing along. I got the skunky aroma preventing my glaucoma. I'm getting so baked, I feel like I'm in a coma. Video games and chronic are my tonic, cuz look, don't get it twisted, alright? I'm ready to lose some weight and go on this reality show, but I ain't quitting no weed. I ain't never gonna stop smoking weed. Not till the day I die, alright? You know what I'm saying? I got my priorities, alright? You can take my kids if you want, but don't take my sack. Do not touch my green. If you want, just take any of my children.
Oh, alright? I think that's...
Let me know where that came from.
That explains the appetite.
There's only a limited amount of dank weed.
Right.
Peace.
All right, K-Fed. I think that now we got the problem with the motivation. I think we know where that's coming from right now.
Got to keep your priorities straight. Yeah! K-Rock.
Hi, it's Kat. Today we're going to hear from Muse on their new single. Details on how you can rock it this Saturday, hanging with Brandon Boyd, Mickey Avalon, and Kit Malone of TV on the Radio. Listen to the podcast in the Music News section at krock.com.